Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Well, there's no shortage of news this week. This is great. You know, there was it was like a month or so ago, we were thinking, gee, nothing's really happening yet. You know, the campaign quite hasn't kicked in. It's, you know, like July. We had July 4th, and everybody burnt, sunburnt, you know, and we had our Declaration of the Independence reading, and we had a great time. Not a whole lot was happening. It's too hot. You know, what are you going to do? It's July. Of all the times for our folks to meet in Washington, actually in Philadelphia, to sign the Declaration in July. It's hot in July. Anyway, so not a whole lot has happened. But this week's really interesting. Just first thing off the notes that I have here, Trump has decided not to go to the GOP Goobers debate. That's what I'm calling them, the Goobers. Goobers, that's short for used to be like governors, you know, Goobers candidates. But it really, it's anybody who's a globalist deep state. So I'm shortening globalist deep state to goober. So if you're a goober candidate, that means you're, as Bianca von Krieg said last week, you know, you're taking money from all sides. You're a globalist. You don't care. You have no principles. You have no soul. You have no convictions. You have no political anything. You just want money and power. I mean, that's all it is. That's what the deep state wants, money and power. They don't care about this country. They don't care about people. They don't care about anything except their own money and power, right? So that makes you a goober. I wonder if there's a definition of goober. It's not a word that's been used for a while. Jonathan Mosley pointed that out to me a while back. He said, I can't believe you're using the word goober. Well, it makes sense. It was what a character in, was it Gomer Pyle or, who was it? Gomer Pyle or Mayberry RD. One of them had goober. It says also goober pea as a peanut. A foolish person. Yeah, there we go. You know, a person from the southeastern U.S., especially Georgia or Arkansas, that's actually a definition. Look on those goobers. You think people from the south are stupid, you idiots? Yeah, this is probably a northeast liberal dictionary. It's an online dictionary, so and some of the definitions are just flat out wrong. This one's flat out wrong. So they're calling it a goober. So they're equating with a fool with somebody who's from Georgia or Arkansas because they think Southerners are stupid. Oh, really? I got news for you. You know, have you read any Mark Twain or William Faulkner lately? You know, I mean, most of the poets are from the South. Most of the great writers are from the South. There's a lot of things in the South. You know, you want great chefs, you come to the South. You know, if you want the best agriculture, the best food, you come to the South. Okay. You know, is this the greatest industrial capital? No. I mean, everybody knows that. But that goes throughout countries all over the world. You look at Germany, you look at England, you look at all kinds of different places. The South is where the artists, writers, chefs, the interesting people. Italy, same thing. You know, the northern parts are where the industrialists are. You know, in England, you've got, the southern, you know, Cornwall, you know, where all the beach hangouts, Windermere, beautiful areas. You know, where the industrial part of England, the Midlands, you know, Manchester, places like that, Liverpool, you know. So Germany, same thing. The industrial north, Hamburg, Frankfurt, the south, you know, Munich, you know, Italy. The industrial north, you know, Genoa, Tuscany. Well, no, that's actually kind of pretty area. So where's the industrial north in Italy? Milan, you know, southern, the crazy folks, you know, Naples, Italy. So, you know, it goes throughout. It's pretty common throughout most places. Canada, there is no north that anybody lives in because it's too cold. So the south kind of has to incorporate everything. Australia is different because it's in the southern hemisphere. They actually reverse it. The industrial stuff, you know, is like Melbourne and Sydney. And the crazy, the artists and the, you know, the sun workers, they're up in Brisbane, up in Queensland. So in the southern hemisphere, it reverses. Generally, the warmer the place, the more artistic and creative, and the colder the place, the more industrial. That's just, don't ask me why. I mean, I'm just making observations. Anyway, I have no idea how I got off on that tangent, but that's the thing about radio. It just happens. I don't think about this. I just do it. You know, it's like guitar playing. I don't think about it. I just do it. I made a video demo on my Facebook page if anybody's interested. And so I'm trying to be, you know, just a fabulous guitar player. And the more I practice, the better I get. I mean, I've been doing it 40 years, and I feel like I'm just getting the hang of it now. It's like, so now that's what the strings are supposed to feel like. And, oh, that's how you're supposed to hold the pick. Little things like that. You can spend a lifetime trying to perfect something. You never get there, of course, but the glory is in trying to perfect it. And then when you get moments of brilliance, you go, wow, where'd that happen? Where'd that come from? And then, of course, they're gone. You have to wait again, you know, then they're gone. You know, same thing with the show. I think there are moments of brilliance on this show. and they're gone. You know, Friday was one of those days. Friday we had two unbelievable guests, and I started the show late because I wanted to get Brianna Latipo home on the show. She's an author. She's a healer. She's the wife of our Florida Surgeon General, Dr. Joseph Latipo, and she was just amazing. Before that, because I have a friend on the West Coast, Bianca Von Krieg, who's from the Progressive Caucus. She's our you know, from the left coast, Progressive Report from the left coast. But being in California on Pacific time, it's 2 hours earlier. So I was able to get her on at 10 o'clock here, which is 8 o'clock her time. And so that helped out too. So we have fabulous insight into the Progressive Caucus. And it's really interesting. There's the Democrats, I would have to divide them into traditional liberals. That would be Robert Kennedy, progressives like Bianca, and then just the absolute Marxists, you know, like the Squad, you know, some of the folks that the Schumer, you know, the whole power wing, the folks that stole the government for themselves, with the Republicans too. I mean, there's definitely a deep state. So you've got a deep state, you've got classical liberals, you've got progressives on the Democrat side. On the Republican side, you've got the deep state, you know, you've got conservatives, and you've got independents and patriots and things like that. Libertarians would be another group, subgroup of Republicans. So it divides up, but parties really screw things up. So that's a problem. Okay, so next big thing in the news is the fact that Alex Jones announced it first. And of course, everybody thinks, well, he's a crackpot. You know, one of my friends even said, you can't believe him. He got sued over Sandy Hook. Okay, yeah, he screwed up there big time. don't say that nobody died and it was a false flag. That's just kind of stupid. On the other hand, I know we don't know everything about it. And if you want to create assassins, the left is expert at creating assassins. I mean, they're the ones that take boys and put them on ADHD meds, you know, at the earliest possible age. Then they put them on antidepressants. Then now the new thing is trans drugs. So if you give a kid, and this applies to girls too, because the person that did the Tennessee school assassination, you know, with somebody who was a woman trying to be a guy. And it's one thing if you want to, you know, if you just want to change who you are and change your lifestyle and change your life and, you know, live your life as the opposite sex, great. I don't care. Go for it. It's not a civil right. You know, it's not enshrined in the Constitution. There is no, nobody has to pay for it except you because it's elective surgery and drugs. And that's fine. You want to do that? I don't care. I know trans folks. You know, but you're not actually changing your sex. You're not changing your chromosomes. You're changing your identity and you're changing your body and you're changing who you are. And if that's what you want to do, I'm perfectly okay with that. A, don't touch the kids. And B, it's not a civil rights group deserving of protection for anything. It's an individual choice that no one can stop you from making a choice like that if you're an adult. You know, so the only reason things become a civil rights group or a protected group is because people are taking away your choice. No one's saying anybody from making a choice to change themselves, you know, and so that's why it's a totally different issue. You know, it's like the folks who are gay, who are living their lives gay and nobody cares. Great. Okay, fine. And then those who have a political agenda to bring, you know, drag queens into schools, that's an entirely different thing. And so that's where I make the distinction. So the problem is, it looks like the Democrats want to steal the election again. And so they're going to bring back the COVID mandates, which means ballot harvesting, mail-in ballots, and all kinds of things like that. They want to do everything they can to steal the election because they know Brandon can't win. He couldn't win the first time against Trump. That's why they stole it. And now he's in far worse mental condition. So he obviously can't win the second time because his agenda sucks, you know, and it's funny. There's an article, I haven't read it yet, but Victor Davis Hanson talks about how the you know, Brandon said, well, name one thing that we haven't delivered as promised. Well, everything, everything you talk about, you know, the economy sucks. You know, the border's completely open. You know, we have millions of illegals that have to go back. We have millions of birth fraud citizenships that have to be corrected. We have horrendous problems. We need our energy back. We need our foreign policy back. We need our military back. We need our $85 billion worth of weapons back, although that's not going to happen. We need to get out of NATO, get out of the UN. We need to do a bunch of different things with foreign arrangements. We need to have someone that understands foreign leaders and actually can deal with them. We need to, put China and Russia back in the box that Trump had them in. In fact, we need our pipeline. We need the Keystone pipeline. We need the wall. We need everything. So everything that Brandon talked about that he reversed from Trump sucks. You know, for him to say, we've done everything, you know, we promised. Well, yeah, you did. You reversed Trump and you made the country suck. You know, we should make shirts. You know, MAS, America suck. That's the Democrat plan. Make America suck. That's their plan. Okay. So MAS, that's MAS. And what I want to say is no más, which is Spanish for no more. So, you know, no more make America suck. You know, we want to make America great again. You know, they say MAGA. They never say what it stands for. Because if you ever ask me, oh, what does MAGA stand for? Make America great again. Well, you don't want to make America great again? Well, that's just for white privilege and white nationals. Oh, really? White privilege? Tell me about white privilege. You know, I'd love to go on The View sometime and talk about this imagined white privilege. I mean, white men, especially white Christian men, had the least privilege of anybody in society today. No affirmative action, no scholarship set aside, no job things set aside, no contracts set aside, you know, universally despised. There's no civil rights for white guys. There's nothing. No government aid for, in fact, there's very little government aid for single men parents. You know, there are no homeless shelters. Well, I guess there are homeless shelters, but, you know, for guys that are assaulted by women, no shelters for them. You know, and a guy beaten in his sleep with a baseball bat. I'm sorry. You know, hey, you're a guy. You should have, you can physically handle it. Yeah. Want to sleep? Right. Good luck. Anyway, point being that violence occurs in both places. Anybody can be violent. It's just a matter of time and opportunity and weapons. All right. So much for that. Let's get on to the resistance. So if Brandon, as it looks like it's going to be, wants to bring back the COVID mandates to steal the election like they did the first time, masks, I guess social distance, which is not social at all. It is distance. It's not social. Social is close. Ooh, I got to make that. Instead of social distance, let's make it social close encounters. I like that. I've been making up words lately. Social close encounters. Close to distance. So, but no distance. Actually, I'm calling them social group hugs. So we're going to have social. So we're going to resist. And I've already got a bunch of things planned. Mask burnings. We have to institute national mask burnings. We have to have just like draft cards and bras. Just burn their bras. Draft resistors burn their draft cards. We need to burn masks in large numbers everywhere we can. We need resist. We need airport demonstrations. Say, no, we're not going to get on a plane with a mask. What, are you crazy? That's the dumbest thing you could do. You're already pressurized to 8,000 feet, which is a reduced oxygen environment. It's 15% oxygen at 8,000 feet as opposed to 22% oxygen at sea level. Okay, so you're already down 7%. You put a mask on, that reduces it further. And plus you put a mask on with all those germs and bacteria and weird things that are growing there in your mask, and that makes it even worse. And then if you have a drink, oh, you're really screwed because that lowers your oxygen even further. So if you wonder why people are passing out on airplanes when they're wearing masks and drinking, that's why. It's because they've completely removed their oxygen. The only people who should be wearing masks are those that actually need oxygen. Those are the ones who should be wearing masks, nobody else. So we need to resist. We resisted in Milton. We resisted a mask mandate that the mayor wanted. Then she went whining to CNN. That was Mayor Lindsay. Dumb idea. We resisted by having the first Mardi Gras parade. Oh, you're super spreading. You know, everybody's going to die. No, they're not. We're all immune. Don't worry about it. Everybody's had COVID. Either they had it, didn't know it. They've been exposed to it, didn't know it. They had, you know, maybe mild symptoms. They maybe had moderate symptoms. But everybody's already had COVID. So the only people getting COVID now are those that had the jab, because the jab ruins your immune system and creates variants. So the only people getting the variants are the people that had their immune systems destroyed by the jab. So you're the folks that are causing the problem. So this is actually a pandemic of the COVID jab, which is kind of interesting and kind of tragic too, because a lot of those folks are dying, and it's only going to get worse when they get more jabs. All right. So first of all, and most of what they do is illegal anyway. The mandates are illegal. You know, you can't quarantine healthy people, and mandates are illegal. The other thing in the news, Trump's going on Tucker Carlson instead of the Goober debate. I think I mentioned that. But what we really want, what I really want to do, and I'm talking to a lot of people about this and hopefully getting some excitement going, is that Trump needs to do the second debate with Robert Kennedy. With Tucker Carlson. That would be fabulous. So you have Tucker in the middle, I guess, or just Tucker talking to two of them, you know, side by side. So Tucker on one side and Kennedy and Trump on the other, because they really need to start working together. This is a deep state versus American patriot election. So the deep state is an insulated place in Washington where they want all their own power, all their own money, and they want control of everything. Okay, that can't be allowed to continue. In fact, I'll be working on a project in September reversing the Patriot Act. We've got to eliminate it. We've got to revoking the Patriot Act. That's going to be coming up. So that'll be interesting. The other thing is, what was the other thing? Anyway, so I was talking about the resistance. Oh, yeah. So we want to get these two talking because they're the American patriots. Now, how can you, wait a minute, Greg, how can Trump and Kennedy be patriots? Because they believe in this country. They love this country. They just have different ways of fixing it. And I understand that. That's easy to talk about. How can I talk to Bianca Von Krieg, a progressive socialist from the West Coast? You know, how can I talk to her? Easy. You know, we want the same things. We want a more prosperous America. We want the people to be happy and have more money, and then we want the same things. How do we get there? Totally different ways. I mean, completely different. But that's what makes the conversation interesting. All right, so that's going to be – so we got Tucker talking to Trump for the first GOP goober debate, and then the future goober debates, hopefully the GOP goobers, they can talk to themselves and play with themselves and do whatever else they do. I don't know. They're all they're stupid for running against Trump anyway. If they were real Republicans, they wouldn't be debating. They'd be supporting Trump as the nominee, and then we'd be done with this. Okay? He's obviously way ahead. None of them are going to win. They're never going to go anywhere. So the only purpose they can have is to try and gang up on Trump, and he's not going to play. He's not going to be there. So they're going to blame him for not being there, but it doesn't matter because nobody's going to watch. They're going to watch, Trump and Tucker talk about real things. It's going to be funny. All right. So next thing on the – well, I got a couple of Facebook things I've kind of talked about. One is that – oh, I wrote this here. Brandon is bringing back the COVID dictatorship so the deep state can steal the election. Okay, we've covered that. Here's something we haven't covered. I came up with a new phrase today, cleaning up the citizenship rolls. Okay, what's that all about? Well, there's two rolls out there that are critical. One are the voter rolls. Everybody knows about the voter rolls, and the way to clean up the voter rolls – is all the voter registrations expire every year, just like your driver's registration, okay? So if it's good enough for your driver's license, why isn't it good enough for your voter registration? It should be. Car registration, you renew it every year and you pay a fee. Voter registration, you should also renew it every year, but you shouldn't pay a fee. You know, I mean, they say it's a privilege, but driving is absolutely a right. It just is. I'm sorry, driving's a right. Or actually, travel's a right. Now, can you abuse that and drive badly? Consequences? Absolutely, yeah. But the idea of the government saying that you cannot travel without a license, that's like saying you can't have a gun without a license. I mean, obviously, everybody knows that's illegal. All right. So I thought to myself, so I wrote this down here, cleaning up the voter rolls is going to be nothing compared to cleaning up the citizenship rolls as we correct all the bogus birth fraud citizenships back to 1990. I just picked 1990. Why? Wasn't that Bush the Elder? I think that was like the middle of Bush the Elder's term. And so that's when things really started falling apart. Patriot Act. No, when was Patriot Act? That was 2000. That was Bush the Younger. But the Bush years and then the Clinton years, 1992. That's when the massive illegal immigration or the massive immigration of illegal aliens. There we go. Let's phrase it properly. Started. So I figured 1990 is like a good benchmark. 33 years ago. It's a good time to start. So, so we have to correct all those, which means we're going to be correcting a lot of kids and grandkids. I'm like, sorry, you shouldn't be given citizenship. And especially the bogus ones who fly in or illegal aliens who come in, have a kid on American dirt and think that grants them citizenship. It doesn't. Never did. 14th Amendment shows that very clearly. In fact, it says just the opposite. You cannot be a citizen. You cannot pass on citizenship. Citizenship is like inheritance. It's passed on through from parent to child. Okay, it's not passed on by being on American dirt. Lots of people on American dirt. Doesn't make them citizens. All right, let's get on to the big topic. The big topic of this hour, gee, boy, this hour's going fast. The big topic, of course, is Maui. Maui had a wokist invasion, a wokist swarm. So wokist, I'm substituting for locust. So if you missed the reference there, wokist and locust. Looks like Marco's out this week, so nobody's happening, on there. And let me see, okay, so let me go. I'm just checking my message because I had the microphone quit on me last week. And so what I'm doing is I like to check, I keep telling Blog Talk, you need to put dB levels on our studio screen so we know exactly when we're broadcasting. Because every once in a while the cords fail, the signal gets interrupted, like a nanosecond of power interruption. You wouldn't even notice it, except that all of a sudden my signal's cut and I'm talking to myself instead of talking to you. So this is why I need those dB things. I'll talk to them again, see if I can. It's been 4 years, and they haven't – 5 years, actually. Haven't done it yet, but there's always hope. When the show gets, massive, then they'll put them in because I'll demand it. It's like, hey, I'll take my 5 million listeners, somebody else, unless you, do X, X, Y, and Z. Okay, so what happened in Maui? Maui was pretty much guaranteed to happen based on the way the Maui government, the Hawaii Electric, and the conditions. Okay, so what do you need for a fire? You need three things. You need fuel, okay, Well, the fuel was plenty of dry grass and dry leaves and dry branches and dry shrubs. There's a lot of dry stuff there. Maui apparently doesn't get much rain. I was surprised at that. I didn't know. Maui, I don't know if it gets the least rain of the Hawaiian Islands, but it's up there. It does not get a lot of rain. It does get a lot of wind. And so what does wind do? Well, anybody that remembers the Oakland fires in Oakland, California, the fires in Paradise, the fires in a bunch of different places, wind, Canada, Western Canada, Eastern Canada, Greece, wind is what moves Waco. when the FBI killed the Branch Davidians, wind is what did it. Okay, so wind moves fires very quickly. You know, and fires are pretty easy to fight if there's no wind. You know, so because they aren't going with it. You know, when fires burn, which direction do they burn? Up. Okay. Yeah, they go through things and across things and houses and things like that. But primarily, fires burn up. Ever watch a candle? Which direction is the flame? It's up. Okay. So the only way it moves sideways is with wind. So you take that up and you move that flame sideways, it's going to burn a lot more stuff a lot quicker. And it's going to race through that that area. So the first thing you need, fuel. They have plenty of fuel. Plenty of dry grass, plenty of dry branches, plenty of dry plants. A lot of dry vegetation. So they had the fuel. The ignition source. Well, the ignition source was the power lines. Apparently, the winds were 75 plus miles an hour, 65, 75 miles an hour. Well, 74 miles an hour is where a Category 1 hurricane begins. So they never said this on the news. You know, I figured this out pretty quickly. But they had basically hurricane force wind. So let's put that in perspective. No one's mentioning that word. Hurricane. Think about that for a second. Now, they didn't have the rain because it's like a desert there on Maui. But they had hurricane force winds. If they had a real hurricane, it would have blown out the fire because the wind and the rain would have taken care of it. But because they didn't have the rain, they just had the wind. So you've got hurricane force winds. You've got power lines that were broken and breaking. You know, there's your source of ignition. There's your fuel. What's the component? Oxygen. Got to have oxygen for a fire. That's what burns. Oxygen burns. Oxygen burns in your body. You know, that's what burns your carbohydrates. That's what burns, you know, that's what gives you energy for your muscles. That's what allows you to function. Oxygen. We burn oxygen. Okay. Well, in a high wind, there's a lot of oxygen coming in. It's fanning the flames, as it were. You know, how do you make flames bigger? You ever see a blacksmith shop from antiquity? These big bellows, they blew air into it. You know, how do you make a fire hotter? How do you make a furnace hotter? How do you do metal forging? How do you do anything? Bring in air. Okay, the more air you force in, you know, the bigger the fire. So you had fuel, you had ignition, and you had oxygen. You had all three sources of a fire. So the question is, where would you prevent the next fire? Well, the oxygen's there. You can't touch that. You take care of the fuel and you take care of the ignition sources. The fuel, you know, you trim down as much as possible any vegetation around power lines. Now, I've seen a video of this. I have not found an article on this. I don't have a source. But the video I saw had somebody photographing, you know, branches intertwined with the power lines. And I'm still looking for that video. I'll find it. It's out there. I saw it. I remember seeing it. But, and they knew for months, years, actually. Hawaii Electric knew for years that, especially after the California fires, 6 years ago, that this was a problem, that they had too much vegetation around their power lines. And that if the power lines broke, they're going to go right into the dry grass and they're going to burn. Okay. Well, that was a problem. What else happened? So let's go through the list. First of all, I had this. They were caused by leftist wokists. You know, they had a wokist invasion. So they had a wokist swarm on Hawaii, which we know is a liberal state. First point, Hawaii Electric knew for years their power lines above ground were a fire hazard. So one of the solutions was to put your power lines underground. They should do that along the entire coast from Texas to Naples, Florida, where the hurricane, or probably down to Key West. So underground power lines within 30 miles of the coast from Key West to Galveston, Texas. If you do that, you're going to solve a lot of the power problems because the first 30 miles is where most of the problems occur in a hurricane. After that, the storm surge isn't there. I mean, the wind starts to die down the further the hurricane gets inland. Right? It just does. So off the water is where it's really bad. So the closer you are to the water, the worse it gets, plus the storm surge. So the first thing they could do is put the power lines, you know, in critical areas underground, like Lahaina, for example. On the countryside, not so much. It's not as critical, but in town, absolutely. Put the power lines underground. Next thing, Maui is a rather dry climate. I've already talked about that. The winds were 75 miles an hour. I talked about that. Hawaii Electric never powered down when the fire started. So if you have a broken power line, but there's no electricity in it, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to fall on the ground. Right. But if you're stupid enough, whatever the wokists were, you know, in the Hawaii Electric, they didn't turn the power off. Well, that's the first thing they should have done. If you take the power out of the power lines, guess what? You don't start fires. When the power lines break, they just fall on the ground. And then what you do is you repair them and then turn the power back on. But they didn't do that. Okay. The next thing is the water was withheld. This is the ultimate wokus. This is the one that really, really is a problem. Okay. So the water was withheld. And you see this guy on video before the fire. The sacred water of Hawaii. We cannot, tap into our sacred water. We have to bless it. Into the whole. Yeah. I mean, the good Lord gave us water to fight fires with. Okay. That's just how it works. So they withheld water. And the other one is the sirens were never turned on. So, and the excuse is, well, we didn't want people to think there was a tsunami. Well, if there was a tsunami, it would have been all over the radio because they would have heard it coming. And they would say, hey, we've got a tsunami coming. Hear the sirens. You know, the minute you hear the sirens, the first thing you do is turn on AM radio or turn on news and say, hey, what's going on? Or you look at your cell phone. So that's not an excuse. That's just that's a rationalization. That's a trying to get out of it. Say, well, you know, he didn't think that. He just didn't want to turn the sirens on. Okay. Idiot. And, of course, they didn't learn from PG&E. PG&E in California had exactly the same problem. The power lines broke, too much vegetation around them. You know, the power lines fell into the vegetation. The power was left on. The sparks created fires. The wind created a firestorm, and the rest is history. A whole bunch of people died. That's the sad part. A whole bunch of people died for no reason. It's usually why people die. Unless you die of natural causes, it's probably for no reason. Pilot error. Shouldn't happen, but it does. But when your souls meet in heaven, what do you say? What do you say to the airline pilot that screwed up, you know, or took a COVID shot? Well, it was for my job. I had to do it. Well, then you either didn't need that job or you should have resisted. They stopped doing that to airline pilots because 30% of the pilots resisted. They said, no, I'm not taking the COVID jab. And then the airlines realized they couldn't, or was it 20%? I mean, maybe it was 20%. So 20% of the airline pilots refused the jab. And they said, I'm not going to take that. Well, you're going to be fired. Go ahead, fire me. You know, see what you do without 20% of your pilots. Go ahead. Well, they couldn't do it. So 80% of the pilots who got the jab are now going to be suffering, unfortunately and tragically. But the 20% who didn't take the jab, the rebels, are now the most valuable pilots to the airlines because they're the ones who aren't passing out and dying in flight. Well, unless they have other causes. I mean, you know, but the chances are, you know, astronomically less that somebody is going to pass out and die in flight because pilots are generally pretty healthy. They have to be. They have to pass a first-class medical every 6 months and with good reason. And you want people healthy up there. You don't want them passing out and dying, especially from stress. But because an inordinate number, an astronomical number, a ridiculously high number of pilots are passing out and dying who had the COVID shot, the pilots who didn't have the COVID shot who resisted are now the most valuable pilots of the airlines. They should all ask for a raise. Say, look, you need me. I didn't take the COVID shot. You need me. Because, your other pilots who have the COVID jab, you don't know if they're going to, die in flight. It's really kind of sick, but that's what's going on. All right. So let me, I think I've covered, I'm going to go through all these articles here before Jonathan gets here. Actually, let me take a quick break. The only thing I do is play our information thing. So it's now 7:28. I'll call this my info break. And then we'll come back with some articles. So let's get this going so everybody knows how to contact us. And I'll be right back. Here is your Action Radio contact and website information. The call-in line is 215-383-3832. Our show site is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Same link, live and a podcast. Please share all our shows. We have live chat at the bottom of the broadcast page available worldwide. Sign in to your free account and type away. We have an internet Skype line where you can call the show worldwide also. Please see the broadcast page for our Skype name. Call in during the show to get approved. Our bill writing site is writeyourlaws.com, WriteYourLaws, writeyourlaws.com. This is where anyone can write a bill and start the process of it becoming law. My paid and free subscription column is at gregpenglis.substack.com. Please consider a paid subscription of $5 per month or greater. For contributions to Action Radio, please go to givesendgo.com/actionradio. We have over 20 Action Radio Facebook groups. Use the Facebook search window by putting in Action Radio to find our groups. My public email is greg@writeyourlaws.com. Please contact me about advertising on Action Radio and helping our mission of freedom. Thank you for listening. All right, we're back here. Let's get some broadcast announce music to wake y'all up here. Where's my thing? Let's try this one. Let's go to Zero Hedge first, and this article has been republished a bunch of different places, but it pretty much summarizes all the problems that we have here. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger. They seem to print a little small. Let's make it a little bit bigger so I can read it. Oh, that's better. Woke Hawaiian officials. Hey, I told you, it's a wokist. It's a wokist swarm. It's a swarm of wokists. You know, I sound like I'm on FUD, don't I? Oh, swarm of wokists. I'm hunting wabbits. Anyway. Woke Hawaiian officials stalled release of revered water until it was too late to save Maui. What kind of an idiot doesn't release water during a fire? Well, a wokist, you know, a leftist who's convinced of their own self-righteousness, who believes in revered water. You know, I mean, there's a lot of water out there. I don't know if people have realized it, but Hawaii's on the Pacific Ocean. Okay. That's a lot of water. It's 2/3 of the Earth's surface is water. We do not have a water shortage. Okay. We don't. Now, do you want to spray salt water all over everything? Yeah, probably not. Certain things would not do as well. But I was thinking on the rare times where we have ice on the roads here in Milton, Florida, it'd be kind of interesting if we took water right from the Gulf and just sprayed it on the roads, because it's salt water, right? So why not? Let's see what, you know, any place that's close to the ocean should be using salt water to clear their roads. Just an idea, especially warm it up. Because those trucks, you know, put a little heat element in it, warm it up a little bit. Warm salt water, spray it on the roads, clear the ice away. Then you come back and spray fresh water to clear the salt away so the roads don't get destroyed. That's what happens up in New England. All right. Tyler Durden, who is the pseudonym, the pen name for whoever writes Zero Hedge. This is from Thursday, August 17th, and so this is a few days old, but they obviously knew back then what the problems were. He says, how detrimental is it to allow far-left ideologues into bureaucratic public works positions? My contention, exactly. This Hawaii, Maui was destroyed because of wokeism, because of leftism. Leftism killed Hawaii, killed Maui. It's as simple as that. If you didn't have the leftists there, you know, you wouldn't have had the problems. Same thing in California. I mean, why is it the fires always happen in leftist areas? Oregon, California, Greece, Canada, Hawaii. You don't see wildfires like this happening in Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota. You know, it's just because they have different management policies. They actually manage their landscape. You know, you can either have controlled burns, you can let the fires go through natural lightning, and have when the fires happen, you let them do their thing, right? And you have low level fires going on all the time. California, you know, California should have fires all summer. No, not big ones, little ones clearing out the growth. That's what happened for millions of years. Redwood trees are resistant to fire. Okay, redwood tree pine cones, redwood cones open up after a fire. It takes the heat of a fire or an extremely dry summer to open up the cone. Why? Because the seeds need sunshine. And if there's a bunch of overgrowth over them, then the redwood trees will not germinate, they will not grow. So the best way to clear out the land is with a fire, and the heat of the fire opens up the redwood seed cone. The seeds drop to the ground, germinate, take root, and grow before the ground around them covers them over with shade, and they can't grow any further. Nature's wonderful, right? Back to the article. The state of Hawaii just found out this week with a blaze that engulfed the island of Maui and killed at least 110 people. It's probably going to be a lot more by the time they're done. It says a series of management blunders are being blamed for the deadly wildfire, but one incident in particular has frightening implications. Yeah, you wonder where else this is being done? I do. It says with wildfires ripping across West Maui on August 8th, a state water official delayed the release of water that landowners requested to help protect their property from damage and stop the spread. Oh, see, that's what it is, landowners. Okay, so we can't give water to the landowners. You know, in other words, that's code for like white supremacists. Okay, you know, can't give, you know, because they might, you know, their property is our property. That's what the government thinks. We'll get to the governor. That's another story. All right. Landowners protect their property from damage and stop the spread. Who ever heard the phrase stop the spread before? Anyway, I guess that was slow the spread. We already talked about that. Article says the water standoff played out over much of the day and the water didn't come until too late. Great. this person should be in prison for, well, actually, what, criminally? I should ask Jonathan about that. Criminally negligent homicide. If you withhold water during a fire, that's like withholding a life jacket when the boat is sinking. Okay, it's the same kind of thing. That's withholding life save. It's like, are you required to be a good Samaritan? No. But if you withhold, if somebody's dying in front of you and you actually withhold treatment, you don't let the ambulance people in, you don't do the things you're supposed to do. So let's put fire official, unless Jonathan, this would be a good legal question. He'll be on at the top of the hour. Fire official withholding water. Water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, Rhyming the Ancient Mariner. I don't know why I quoted that. It just came to mind. Withholding water and let's call it criminally negligent homicide. I guess he wants to go spend more time with his family. Criminally negligent. Because by withholding water, people died. Homicide. That's what I charge him with. Anybody that stupid should be in jail for the rest of life anyway, just for being that stupid. If they did it on purpose, it's even worse. Definitely, yeah. What does death penalty be a thing for government officials who withhold water during a fire when hundreds of people die? I'll have to think about that one. Anyway, he says, He says, the water standoff played out over much of the day, and the water didn't come. All right, we're good. The dispute involved the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Water Resource Management Division, and West Maui Land Company, which manages agricultural and residential subdivisions in West Maui. Okay. Next paragraph says, according to accounts of four people, witness of the situation, M. Kaleo Manuel, a Native Hawaiian cultural practitioner, whatever that means. I guess he's not a howley. This is what they call the white folks, the howleys. It's like gringo. hey, I can be a gringo, man. I can be a howley. Yeah, hang loose, man. To be a howley. I got to work on my Hawaiian accent. Anyway, cultural practitioner and DLNR. I guess that's the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DLNR. Deputy Director for Water Resource Management initially refused West Maui Land Company's request for additional water to help prevent fires from spreading to properties managed by the company. I'll say that was it. It was being a woke, anti-capitalist. Well, we can't give money to the land company. We have to save it. We have to revere our water and save it for I don't know what. The earth makes lots of water, okay? It rains. It's in the ground. It's in wells. You can desalinate the Pacific Ocean. There's plenty of water out there, right? Idiots. Eventually released water, but not until after the fire had run its course. Great. Does the expression closing the gate after the horse has bolted come to mind? Anyway, his office has not yet commented on the delay of water resources. Of course not. So let's put this name in your brain for a long time. M. Kaleo Manuel. Let me say it again. M. Kaleo Manuel. M. Kaleo Manuel is the person who withheld water during the Maui fire. M. Kaleo Manuel. Sorry, Manuel. Your fault. You withheld the water. Otherwise, I wouldn't be mentioning you. I wouldn't know who you are. Article says, how much damage could have been prevented with the extra water is not yet known. Probably most of it. However, the question of why needs to be addressed in the wake of one of the worst natural disasters in Hawaii's history, America's history too. He says, though bureaucratic red tape might be the most obvious suggestion. Let me move the screen a little bit here. A recent interview with M. Kaleo Manuel, there he is again, offers some interesting and disturbing insight. Manuel waxes philosophical on, quote, water equity. So there you go. There's that word equity again. That's government imposed. We're going to take from you. That's what equity is. Government imposed. We're taking from you. All right. So what they take, they took the water. Water equity. We have to distribute the water in an equitable fashion. In other words, not to the land company because they need it. We're going to keep it. The people. Social justice. This is how people get killed with leftism. All right. Manuel waxes philosophical on water equity. Equity being, here's what it says in the article. Parentheses, equity, in quotes, being a pervasive woke buzzword, unquote, or un parentheses, and an ancient reverence of water as godlike. Let me say that again. M. Kaleo Manuel offers some interesting and disturbing insight. Manuel waxes philosophical on water equity, being a pervasive woke buzzword, an ancient, quote, reverence of water as godlike. What, does he worship the water? guy's weird. He uses, back article, article says he uses these beliefs to support his rationale for keeping tight controls over Hawaiian water supplies, not as a resource to be used, but as a holistic privilege offered by government. This is a really important statement. He uses these beliefs to support his rationale for keeping tight controls over Hawaiian water supplies, not as a resource to be used, but as a holistic privilege offered by government. Now let's replace water with electricity. Okay. Now remember, they've taken away the organic fuels, or at least they've tried to. The organic fuels, you know, the good clean stuff in the ground, oil, coal, natural gas, and uranium, those are the organic fuels. All right. So now if energy becomes a government privilege, just as water becomes a government privilege, then how does the government decide who gets the privilege? Well, how do they decide everything else? Privilege minority, special people, diversity, equity, social justice, you know, anybody but the white Christian male, you know? So in other words, it's like James O'Keefe over at OMG, you know, the O'Keefe Media Group, it's kind of an interesting acronym, right, OMG, was talking about how Best Buy and some other companies have resource programs and hiring programs and different things like that, except for white people. White people can't apply. So, you know, if you thought segregation was bad, what do you think of segregation? Okay. Segregation's back. It is. This country is segregating again. It started with Obama. We're going to fundamentally transform America back to, you know, the 1920s, except we're going to segregate the white people this time. Okay. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now. Segregation is wrong. If segregation is wrong, it can't be wrong just for one color. It's wrong for everybody. You don't segregate. Yeah, that's what they're doing. Right? So if the government wants, you know, more diversity in the airline cockpit, they're going to take people and put them in there based on their percentage in the population. So you can have 13% black pilots, you know, 20% Hispanic pilots, you know. And, of course, the white guys have been up there too long, you know, safely flying for decades. And we can't have them, you know, because we need equity. We need to put people in there. This is pure Marxism. Michael Savage used to talk about this all the time. So Michael Savage talked about in China how they would take the janitors and make them surgeons and surgeons and make them janitors because everybody's equal under communism. Well, what happened? Well, the floors got dirty and people died on the operating table, obviously, right? Because surgeons are not good janitors and janitors are not good surgeons. Otherwise, they would be the other, you know. Oh, yeah, there might be some, you know, income and hard work and some individual effort differences. We can talk about that another time. But this is fascinating. He uses his beliefs to support his rationale for keeping tight controls over Hawaiian water supplies, not as a resource to be used, but as a holistic privilege offered by the government. See, this is what happens when these people become, you know, convinced that the government is their God. They worship the God. I should do a, you know, government is God. You know, government. And I did an article on the nation of government. You know, in fact, that's really what I'm sure others have done this. You know, they've talked about that. This is the whole base of communism. You know, this is the base of the social credit system. So in other words, now, you know, now they're not going to give you water if you own guns. They're not going to give you water if you believe, if you say MAGA, make America great again. They're not going to give you water, you know, or anything. So you're not going to, so this is the first thing. The first thing they went after is electricity, smart meters. Smart meters regulate that. Well, you bet you're going to have smart water meters too. They're going to regulate your water. So they regulate your power, regulate your water, and make sure that you're, you know, a good person. If you do well, think correctly, and act correctly according to the communist government in charge right now in this country, then you get water and you get electricity and food. Isn't that special? Isn't that nice? Land of the free, home of the brave, huh? Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that. So all those folks that think that the only way you can fight for your country is to fight overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq, and God bless those people for going. But I'll tell you what, there's no reason for them to have gone. So I don't blame the soldiers for going. They were just doing their duty. They're doing what they swore an oath to do, you know, follow the commander in chief. But what they quite honestly should have done is follow the Constitution. Constitution has nothing to do with sending troops overseas everywhere. By the way, I'm going to write an article soon that the president is not the commander in chief automatically. Only under a declaration of war is the president commander in chief. That should cause a little bit of a stir. All right, let's get on to here. So we've got quotes here. Facebook. No, it is what's this? Twitter. Now X. Stupid Elon Musk. You're such an idiot. His meet M. Kaleo Manuel, the official who refused to release water in Maui, contributing to up to 106 deaths. Yeah, he's good. So you can watch him on Twitter, you know, which is now X. Jeremy Coffin has it. It's all over the place too, so you can get that. Let's see if I can find another article. Yes, there's more. I got about 10 articles up here. I'll see. I'll get to a couple more before Jonathan gets here. Here's another one. You know, this is from Time Magazine. You know, why Hawaiian Electric is facing a lawsuit after deadly wildfires in Maui. Well, there's a very graphic picture. Bunch of burnt coconuts on the ground, no grass, and down power lines. Interesting graphic. Hey, guess what? There's branches and branches and trees around the power lines. Power lines are definitely down. All the grass on the ground is burnt. This is by Simone Shah, S-A-E-S-H-A-H, from August 16th. In the wake of wildfires that ripped through Maui last week, many are seeking answers about what caused the deadliest wildfire in the U.S. in over a century. That search has put Hawaiian Electric. You don't hear them mentioned too much. That's like a PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric. So isn't it interesting that utilities are responsible for these huge, massive fires? These are the same people that want to manage the only energy source the government wants you to have, which is electricity. Isn't that interesting? This is that search has put Hawaiian Electric, which serves 95% of the island state's 1.4 million residents, in the spotlight. 1.4 million people on Maui. Maybe it's 1.4 million total. The search for Hawaiian Electric serves 95% of the island states. It's 1.4 million residents of Hawaii. We can fit the whole of Hawaii in any major city, and probably a million of those residents are in Honolulu, just a guess. Anyway, so you've got one utility, which is a monopoly. Okay, so government monopolies are okay. Private monopolies are not. You know, that's anti-competitive. But a government monopoly, see, I would break this up. I would have no government utilities. I have private power companies. If they charge too much, then somebody else will. Power, electricity is a commodity. You know, you don't have to have big, massive power plants. In fact, if people have, solar panels on the roof, they can generate a lot of their own electricity. Put a little windmill up there. You know, you go to every little Australian town because it's always. So yeah, those little tube aluminum windmills generates a lot of power. Little windmills are better than big windmills because big windmills kill all our birds. Because those tips are going about 200 miles an hour. Well, you hit something at 200 miles an hour, it's going to die. Especially a bird who's fairly fragile to begin with because their bones are hollow and they're light. That's how they fly. They can be strong, too. Eagles are really strong, but they're still fairly light. I've held an eagle. It's a big bird. You know, but an equivalent animal, mammal, would be a whole lot heavier. All right, anyway, so the utility provider is facing a lawsuit over alleged inaction in the face of the destructive Lahaina wildfire that killed at least 99 people on the island of Maui. Okay, so the death count's going to increase. Though an official cause of the wildfire has not been reached, although I've reached three of them, Lahaina residents filed a class action lawsuit against the utility company alleging that in the days before the fires broke out, the company, here we go, chose not to de-energize their power lines during the high wind watch and red flag warning conditions for Maui before the Lahaina fire started. They were under a red flag. This is not a gun thing. Okay. A red flag warning and a high wind watch. Well, like I said, the winds were over 75 miles an hour. That's a category 1 hurricane force wind. Okay. People think it was just breezy. No, this is hurricane force winds, dry conditions, power lines breaking. The lines are full of electricity, causing fires on the ground. This is no big mystery, folks. This is pretty obvious, especially when you see it on video. It's amazing how fast these things went. I've pretty much been over it here. All right. So the filing also claims that the company failed to shut off power lines even after the fires began. So not only were they stupid enough not to power down as much as they could before the fires began, once the fires started, they didn't power down everything. So in other words, of course, were people using fires? No. Using electricity? No, they were evacuating. So you didn't need the power anyway. On an island. Well, the people that survived, I think, went into the ocean, which presents other problems because there are critters in the ocean. Anyway, Hawaiian Electric says no shutoff plan. See, they weren't prepared for this because they're wokists, right? Won't happen. He says Hawaiian Electric did not deploy a public power shutoff plan, an aggressive safety strategy used in other states like California, Oregon, and Nevada, which are more used to fires from their utilities. My words. To proactively shut down power to communities with high wind conditions and increased risks of fire. So they knew they had increased risk. They had hurricane force winds. It was dry. Conditions were actually, ideal in the sense that this is going to happen sooner or later, just by the way they did it. It just happened to have happened now. Article says intense wind gusts knocked down approximately 30 utility poles across the region. On August 8th, many onto trees and roads and complicated evacuations, according to Maui County Mayor Richard Bissen, B-I-S-S-E-N, who confirmed that some electrical lines were energized when they hit the ground. Wow, how about that? That's how they cause fire. Lines that aren't energized can't cause fires. Okay. According to the Washington Post, here we go, Hawaiian Electric was aware that a power shutoff was a useful strategy, so they knew it was the right thing to do and didn't do it anyway. That's wokus. Okay? Unless they had reverence, they would revere their electricity like the guy revered water and would maintain it as an equity privilege or something. I don't know. But they didn't include the step in it in its fire mitigation plans. So they have plans to, here we go. Let me just read the sentence again. According to the Washington Post, Hawaiian Electric was aware that a power shutoff was a useful strategy, but didn't include the step in it in its fire mitigation plan. So they knew cutting the power to the power lines during a massive windstorm is a good thing to do, and they purposely didn't do it anyway. Energy spokesman Jim Kelly told CNN that the utility company does not have a formal shutoff program in place since the power is needed to provide water for firefighters. Well, the water was shut off too. Wait a minute. You need water? The firefighters, don't those trucks have their own pumps and batteries? Yeah, and firefighters, water pressure alone is what powers a lot of these things. Doesn't the water pressure alone work? What do you need electricity for? Besides, in an emergency situation, yeah, they got battery in the fire trucks. Okay, so that's not a reason. Article says preemptive short notice power shutoffs have to be coordinated with first responders, and in Lahaina, electricity powers the pumps that provide the water needed for firefighting. I would dispute that, but we'll see. Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that. Yeah. Then it says research firm CoreLogic, that's C-O-R-E-L-O-G-I-C, has estimated that the residential property damages stand at $1.3 billion. But Hawaii Governor Josh Green, he's the one that wants to take all the Maui land, we'll talk about that someday too, estimates the losses approach $6 billion. Okay, more federal money for him, that's what that's about. On Friday, Hawaii Attorney General Ann Lopez announced a, quote, comprehensive review of the decisions and policy surrounding the fires, which the state's emergency measures were largely unprepared for. How can you be unprepared for a fire on a dry island that gets 75-mile-an-hour winds? That's the first question. How come you guys weren't prepared for fires on an island that's mostly desert and has 75-mile-an-hour winds? How can you not have fire? This is like the California Hills. It's like the dry hills in California. Same thing. Article says an emergency management plan published by the state of Hawaii in February 2022 rated wildfires as low and medium risk. Well, they got that wrong. Across the board for its effect on people, property, and the environment. Okay, so they screwed up then too. Anyway, there's a lot more. Scrutiny and lawsuits. So it says here, power lines have been responsible for the spread of many destructive wildfires in the U.S. from 1992. So that's, what's that, 20 years? Over 30 years. That's 30 years. I've known about this for 30 years. Good planning. That's like an entire career for some people. Power lines have been responsible for a spread of, from 1992 to 2020, federal, state, and local fire services dealt with 32,652 power line ignited wildfires across the country, according to Inside Climate News. I'll have to read that source. Let me say that again. From 1992 to 2020, state and local fire services dealt with 32,652 power line ignited wildfires across the country, according to Inside Climate News. In California alone, my company PG&E has been blamed for more than 30 wildfires since 2017. Not that long ago, it's 5 to 6 years ago, right? That wiped out more than 23,000 homes and businesses and killed more than 100 people, just like Maui. The company recently reached a $150 million settlement, well, they got off easy, for its involvement in the 2020 Zog fires, that's Z-O-G-G. Documents filed in the Hawaiian Electric lawsuit alleged that the company had studied wildfire mitigation plans filed by California utility companies, which included a shutoff plan during high wind and so-called red flag, when warm temperatures, low humidity, and strong winds combine to produce an increased fire risk. Conditions to prevent wildfires. This is, but the documents allege that Hawaii never created a plan of its own. So this is how stupid these people are, right? They see that California has had wildfires. A bunch of places have. They know the cause, high winds, humidity, warm temperatures. It's the summertime. It's not climate change. It's summertime. Okay? They know exactly how these things start. They know exactly that they have the same conditions. And they exactly did nothing. That's criminal negligent homicide. They knew the conditions, killed people, and they did nothing. We're from the government. We're here to protect ourselves. Basically it, right? Documents filed. Okay, I've read that. That's not this article. There'll be more, but I think you get the idea. Yeah, I got more articles, but we'll hold off on these. Those are two, probably the two best ones. It is now 7:55. I'll play a couple of things, and then Jonathan will join us. Hello. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. Well, that sounds good. Even better. Okay, how about your car? If you want the best service for your vehicle, please talk to James at Florida Stores Automotive, conveniently located at 6715 Caroline Street in the historic district of Milton, Florida, right between the Milton Bakery and the Blackwater Trail. Whether you need an oil change or an entire engine replaced, this is the place. The phone number is 850-623-6651. That's 850-623-6651. Call, ask questions, and get the information you need. Florida Stores Automotive is a full-service automotive shop for both domestic and imports, modern and classic. It is a family-owned business here in our Milton community. Open weekdays from 7:30 to 5 p.m., Florida Stores Automotive is a convenient place to keep your car maintained and on the road. Ask them about Firestone tires and the rotation and maintenance plan. Florida Stores Automotive. I go there. You should too. Do you know your way around healthcare, insurance, pharmacies, surgery, alternative treatments and choices? I don't. Which is why I'm so glad I met Priscilla Romans, had her on Action Radio, and learned about health patient advocacy. She is the founder of Great Care. And now as an affiliate of Great Care, we are proud to offer through our discount code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws, a 10% discount. Great Care saves you both time and money. They provide medical advocacy, consultation, advice, and recommendations nationwide. Their website is greatcare.com. That's GRAITHcare.com. You can email them at greatcare.adm@gmail.com or call them at 469-864-7149. That's 469-864-7149. Great Care, better health through better knowledge and advocacy. Action Radio. Dangerously cool. See all the fun we have here? I really enjoyed this first hour. So let's say Bianca's on the line to make his line live. He's just in time for when Jonathan joins us, hopefully any minute now. And I'm not in the middle of a big conversation. Jonathan usually calls when Bianca and I are hashing something out. So we'll have to make sure we include, hopefully Jonathan listens. I got to get him to listen the first hour because so much of what I talk about with him It was based on that first hour. So good morning, sir. How you doing? Are you ready for another exciting week of Action Radio?
Yes, I'm here to serve a man by the name of Jonathan Mosley.
Mr. Mosley. Mr. Mosley has not joined us yet.
Making an egg of hash browns.
Oh, well, okay, fine. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, so the distinguished Jonathan Mosley Esquire has not decided to call us at this particular time. So we are just awaiting Mr. Mosley. And when Mr. Mosley does decide to join us, I shall let you know presently exactly when he does.
Thank you.
Precisely.
Thank you.
Now, do my best. Yes, thank you. Anyway, so what do you think of anything? Let me open it up to you. Give you the option here because so much is going on right now. We're in fascinating times. I mean, did you get a chance to hear the first hour? I don't know if I went through Maui. I went through Trump's debate.
I heard some of it. Yes, I came in about maybe 15 minutes ago.
Okay, that's good. Anything strike you as interesting?
Well, these times are revealing the stupidity. These times are revealing the stupidity that reside within the substance of many people nowadays.
Yeah.
And I think they're finding out about their inner self, and then they go into seclusion and hiding. I guess it's sort of a self-imposed embarrassment.
Well, yeah, and Jonathan's live now, too, so I'm going to bring him right in. It is crazy. You know what? No, that's the old one, I think. Did I make the new one? I'm making Jonathan a new name. And so I have to, I got to find where I put it. Because the last one was too long. So I have to, here it is. Hey, Jonathan, I got your new theme. Hey, check this out. What is the law? Are we under the rule of law? Does that mean those who make the laws rule us? Aren't we under the consent of we the people? Where we write the laws we consent to be governed by and rule the government? Who is the law? Is it the Supreme Court, the President, the Congress, the states? Can you take the law into your own hands? Is there any time the law isn't in your own hands? In a country under a coup d'etat and a stolen government, there is no law. But there are a whole bunch of things being done in the name of law. And now, with this state of confusion and contradiction, let's try to find a way out together by using the law. Because if our government of the people, by the people, and for the people means anything, it means we the people are the law. And now to try and make some sense of all this and use the law as it was meant to be used to find our way back to freedom, it's time now for the Legal Report with Jonathan Mosley. Wow, that makes you sound really good. What do you think?
No, now we know what you do with your time. That's very good.
Actually, you know what? That was the first take. Most of them, I'm getting the hang of this now. Most of these are like one take, and I maybe just have to edit a couple little things. But the music it should be familiar too, because I love that. That's no matter what theme I make for you, we're going to keep that music. But I just write new scripts. No, it fits perfectly. Yeah, you know. So yeah, I redid another one recently. We did our wellness one. We did the same script but different music. So you know, I try and economize. So what's on your mind, sir? We got Bianca on the line too.
Well, I don't know that there's a big theme on my mind. There's so many things that have been happening over the last couple of weeks, and I don't know that we fully explore them. I know that we've had several topics we keep putting off, and I'm not sure I've kept track of them all. But I think although we've touched on some of the indictments and the political things, there's probably some issues that still deserve to go back and talk about.
Hit the big one first. You got to hit the main topic first. Don't save anything. Let's go for the what you think is the most important right away, because we tend to hash everything out.
I'm not sure there is one big topic, but of course
I got a question then.
Just over the last couple of weeks, we've had you know, the indictments of the president. Mm-hmm. And
right.
The thing is that I'm going to try to, I think, go through some of the details of what's wrong with all those and how
okay.
things have completely changed and how, well, to some extent, the January 6th investigations and going against the president, former President Trump, are a radical change to everything that the law has ever been and our politics has ever been. And it really does constitute a coup that, you know, I think we'll have a sense of it. And it's really true that, what's going on represents a complete change of our nation. And, mm-hmm. and I don't see how, you know, unless if we defeat, the only way we could possibly go back to the country that we once knew and once had is to defeat this politicization. I'm not even sure it can be stopped, but we have to do everything we can to stop.
Oh, I am. I'm sure. That's why I do Action Radio. I mean, if I wasn't convinced that we could turn this around, I wouldn't be doing this every day. I'm absolutely mm-hmm. convinced. My job is to convince a whole bunch, millions of other people. That's the hard part. Because there's a huge apathy.
I mean,
I'll tell you.
Go
ahead. Uh-huh.
There are signs that the American people are truly awake. Not
woke.
What they think of woke. But
we don't have a swarm of wokists. That's my new term, swarm of wokists.
I mean, I don't know where the nonsense about becoming woke ever came from, because, you know, these people are anything but woke. They're utterly insane. It's the ability to
well, it's bad English.
Go back.
It's bad English. It's the past tense of awake. So if you are woke, that means you're previous. You either are not awake. It's kind of it's a weird term. It doesn't make sense English, grammatically wise.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, the thing is that we would do well to understand the revolutionary concept. I was talking to someone last night about it. And I'm not an expert enough to use all the right terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that have studied these things a great deal, like Rules for Radicals that Hillary Clinton studied under and all those things like that.
Hurricane Hillary.
What's that?
I said Hurricane Hillary, but that's another topic.
Right. But I think that there's enough. People should realize that the idea of overthrowing countries
mm-hmm.
is actually a very, very well-developed, I'll call it science. I don't mean a political science.
Yeah.
But the things that happen when the left tries to overthrow countries, going back to the 1905 attempted Russian Revolution. And
mm-hmm.
remember, we talked about how communism came out of the smoking clubs and factory lounges of Austria and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That the industrial, you know, sort of trying, and this is commonplace, that progress is being made in one area, like the industrialization, the industrial miracle of society, and then they want to say, well, you know, that kind of progress is going to happen in our politics too. But no, it has nothing to do with that. You're mixing and matching things that really don't make any sense. And but all of the atrocities of the Soviet Union and of Germany, Nazi Germany, were all sold as scientific. People may not realize that
technocracy.
Yeah.
That's the term I've heard. Yeah. We've had Patrick Wood on the show.
Technocracy, yeah. We want to have people, and it gives rise, of course, to the priesthood of experts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we want to have everything decided and planned, and, planned economy and planned society based
mm-hmm.
upon, quote-unquote, experts. Of course, the problem with experts is they're not.
They don't know anything.
They,
they're agenda-driven, political, and
scientific,
yeah.
quote unquote scientific, not even remotely scientific, you know, ideas about humanity in Nazi Germany, about about government, about all these things. It all depends upon these our faith in these supermen who are going to all save us. And at the end of the day, of course, these experts are just men. And they're no, you know, they don't know any better than, and they probably know far less than the average person. It's like the old quote, I forget who said it, that I'd rather be ruled by taking 300 random people from the Cambridge phone book, because that's where Harvard was and all these things like that, then, you know, then all these experts.
I thought it was William Buckley who said that of the New York phone book, but I could be wrong. I don't know why that came to mind, but I think that was his thing. Yeah, yeah.
So,
see, the first 100 names in the phone book, and you'll do better than the people we elect to office. Yeah, and I agree.
So the point being that I'm getting at is that the overthrow of country and the radical, you know, movement and everything like that, none of this is random. People have to understand that this. There are systems for this. They've never tried anything as big as overthrowing the United States, but they're just about done with it. Russia, of course, is huge, the Russian Empire, but it was also mostly a backward, very highly centralized thing in which they exploited the corruption of Nicholas II.
Well, they had a monarchy too. They're already under authoritarian rule with the monarchy, right? The czars.
Right. And so it's like we want to be the monarchy instead of you, is
yep.
what I think you're suggesting. But also Nicholas the Second and his family were completely weak, stupid, and bizarre and totally ineffective.
Inbreeding?
So,
or were they just bad?
Well, even if you accept their plan, you know, their agenda for themselves, you know, so and again, when we talk about what's good, you know, who's good or bad, people confuse that meaning morally good or something like that. You know, like when Trump says that a world leader is a genius, it doesn't mean that their moral goals are laudable. It means that you better watch out because they know what they're doing. Whereas, say, you know, Nicholas II was a buffoon in terms of what, you know, of trying to run the Russian Empire effectively. He was not good at it. So they had an easy target, even though the Russian Empire was huge and powerful. And even then, they had to fight a civil war to get the communists in power over just a generalized malaise of things. So anyway, so what's going on here, again, people need to understand, and I may not know the terminology as good as truly study this stuff, but, you know, the people who over the communists in our country, going back, they've always called themselves, you know, socialists versus communists has always been a sort of an ambiguous thing, and many many communists will say socialism is communism. Much of Marx's early writing, which is clearly Marxist and communist, discusses things in terms of socialism. I guess socialism is just sort of the public relations word for communism.
Well, I think there's a difference, though. But, in socialism, you can have property distributed by government. In communism, there is no property. There is no private property. So the only difference would be, do you have some property or no property? That seems to be the difference between socialism. Yeah.
But early on in the rise of communism, you don't see a clear difference in the use of the word. I mean, people have tried to make a distinction, and there is a big body of thought. I'm trying to make my coffee here, but I mean, it's like for example. About political movement, labor, people got to be aware, because, you know, what is a conservative? You know, we talk about conservatives, and we want to, and we hope to, as if it has some fixed meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But to the listener and the different speaker, unfortunately, it doesn't mean the same thing all across the board. And, you know, what does liberal really mean? You know, the people on the left, of course, are characterized by constantly changing their name because they're fundamentally odious and despised by the American people. So they're constantly having to cover up for who they are. So, I mean, liberal back in the 80s was the big word and, you know, and became so hated that they had to keep changing their name. So, you know, but so we got to be careful that a lot of political movements, we throw labels around, don't actually, you know, have a fixed meaning, and they don't necessarily mean the same thing to different people. You know, there is an attempt to make a well-developed distinction between socialism as meaning that you have a private economy, you have private rights, but there's very intrusive regulation by the government, where government runs everything, but it runs it through regulating private actors. And there's a great deal of overlap.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little hung up in the definitions here, and there's some issues that I think we could definitely get stuck into. Yeah.
The point being is that we are in the middle of that revolution.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
well, I think the clearest thing is what's going to happen with the new COVID mandates. So Alex Jones warned about it, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. Gateway Pundit had an article. I post all this stuff on Special Investigations, saying the same thing. There's a couple of whistleblowers, you know, in the TSA and on the border that have said all the COVID stuff's coming back. And of course, my conclusion is that it's time to steal the election. So they're going to bring back, you know, mail-in ballots. They're going to change all the rules. They're going to declare an emergency. They're going to do everything they did before because they know Brandon can't win. He's even in worse position than he was the first time. You know, people thought he was bad the first time. Now they know he's bad. And so, but the Democrats don't have anybody else because they don't have anybody else who could be as easily controlled as Brandon, who has no clue what's going on, who just said, we've accomplished everything we set out to do. Yeah, what, destroy the country? Yeah, you did. So the real question, the real test for Americans that I see, and I'd be curious both you and Bianchi's view on this, is are Americans going to resist? Are they going to refuse to wear the mask? Are they going to refuse the jab? Are we going to do group hugs instead of social distance? You know, how are we going to rebel? Like in Milton, we had a Mardi Gras parade when they said, oh, you're going to kill everybody, social spreaders, you know, and it's like, we were fine. Besides, everybody's already had COVID. You've either had it and didn't know it. You've either had mild symptoms, had moderate symptoms, or you actually really got sick. But everybody's had it. So there is no COVID anymore unless you got the jab, because the jab destroys your immunity and makes you susceptible and actually creates the variants. Variants are created by people that have had the COVID shot. Everybody knows that. At least they should. So the question is, you know, and I went over this a little bit in the first hour right at the beginning, are Americans going to resist? Now, I'd love to organize, you know, airport demonstrations at Pensacola Airport. That's the closest one to me. But people cannot wear a mask on an airplane. The Bianchi knows this because he's a pilot too, that the oxygen content at 8,000 feet, and these cabins are not pressurized to sea level. It's 8,000 feet. That's 15% oxygen. Okay? It's 22% at sea level, 15% at 8,000 feet, and it's even less if you wear a mask, and it's even less if you drink. So you get your oxygen content down around 10% or so, you're in tough shape. Everybody's going to be passing out at that point. You know, so this is... So the question I have is, will Americans, and of course we don't know until they actually do or don't do it, but will enough Americans resist this time? Or are they going to knuckle under and are the Karens going to come out and start beating people with baseball bats and saying you have to wear a mask or you know, you're going to kill everybody, which of course is nonsense. It says so right in the box. Remember when I posted that thing on the box that says this does not stop viruses? You see that post? If not, I'll put it up again.
Which box? The box of masks?
Yeah, it says right on the mask, right on the box. Now,
right.
They've taken it off, but for a couple of years it said doesn't, go ahead. So will Americans resist?
No, but the thing is, I think people will resist. People are, this is part of where I was trying to go with all this, is that is the American people are fundamentally rejecting all of this nonsense. I'm not sure that they're willing to all show up on mask. And I think, of course, that's what, you know, the purpose of January 6th is to intimidate people against asserting their rights. For example, you know, I don't know why we didn't see huge demonstrations at Mar-a-Lago and at the courthouses and things like that, because people are afraid.
No, we're not organized. We're not organized.
What?
We're not organized. The conservatives, independents are not organized. The left is organized. They've got Antifa, they've got Black Lives Matter.
Organizes, it's like the FBI will swoop in and say it's a huge conspiracy online.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, of course, the purpose.
Well, they're organized.
Is to prevent people from organizing.
Right. But they promote Antifa and Black Lives Matter at January 6th. In fact, and they have their own mercenaries. All right. So the FBI is full of mercenaries for things that they want to do, but they'll do everything possible to stop things they don't want. So in other words, conservatives and independents and patriots and Christians can't organize a demonstration because the FBI will destroy it, where they will promote and actually probably sponsor with all kinds of grants and stuff. I'm sure they paid the bail of people. I know Kamala Harris did. She was raising money to pay the bail of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, you know, rioters. So right. The reason conservatives aren't organized is because they don't have the government behind them like the left does.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a problem.
Well, I think that the leftist coup is collapsing. But it's it's a close struggle between whether or not the American people, you know, say we're mad as hell and we're not going to take this anymore, or whether, you know, whether we're going to go along. Now, people are, I think that, for example, if COVID comes back, people are not going to participate. The question is, are they just going to quietly go about their lives
mm-hmm.
and ignore it, which I think is most likely? Or are
well,
they
is COVID coming back?
And say, hell no.
Is COVID coming back for real, or is it just in the jab population, which is actually most people?
Depends on what you mean by COVID, because mm-hmm. Was COVID ever anything more than just a strain of flu?
No.
So is it coming back? Well, I don't know. You know, what do you mean?
Well, that's my question, though. They took a flu bug and made it seem like, the Black Death, you know, the plague.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. Most people got COVID, didn't even know it. Some people got mild symptoms. Some people got moderate symptoms. I had mild symptoms. You know, I rested mm-hmm. for 2 days and I was fine. It was like, you know, headache, coughed a lot. I mean, Bianchi remembers the show. He was on. You were probably on them too. When that early January 2020, when I coughed through about 2 weeks of shows, that was COVID. I still kept working. You know, I took 2 days off,
right.
And I was fine. Yeah. Bianchi?
Yeah, good morning to you, Jonathan. Well, when you're talking about is it coming back again, what we're really saying is the control that governments
yeah,
had
exactly.
over people to the point where it stripped them of their liberties. Yes, that's going to come back because it worked well for them then.
Yeah,
they're going to try to implement all those controls and stripping you of your liberties once again. It worked good.
Maybe I should say it more clearly. That I said that COVID, they're going to say COVID is coming back, but COVID was never the actual virus was never that much of a problem. The way they engineered it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
yeah. So COVID itself.
And they're going to try try to bring back the controls. The question is whether anybody's going to. It's like the old, you know, the 60s things when these leftists were on the other side of things. Like, what if mm-hmm. they threw a war and nobody came?
Yeah, what if they threw a mandate and nobody did it? Yeah. Well, and that's the question.
Yeah.
How much? Well, a lot of people have had the COVID jab and they're sick or they're dead. A lot of people have had COVID. And if they got early treatments, they realized that the government lied to them. All the people that recovered with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin who are doing just fine now, they knew the government lied to
mm-hmm.
them, okay? And they went with the doctors that cured them. You know, I wish Dr. Zelenko were still around. We I don't know if you heard the show. He was on twice. And we wrote an FDA bill reforming this emergency use authorization procedure so they couldn't do it again. Of course, no one in Congress has taken it up, but that's another story. But I don't. I think a lot of Americans will still comply again because there's just enough people that are fearful, especially in the liberal states. It really depends on where you are. I think I'm okay in Milton because we had the first Mardi Gras parade. And we refused to let our city council impose a mask mandate. We all laughed at that. The mayor wanted it. And he said no. I got static on the line. You guys still hear me?
I do. I don't know where this. I've never heard static like that on a cell
phone.
Well,
my line cut out last week. I had to call in when I had Brianna Latipo, who's the Surgeon General's wife here. She was great. You've got to hear that interview. She was fabulous. But my microphone cut out. And she was speaking for about 5 minutes. And she said, are you there? I'm like, oh, damn, my microphone's gone. So I never, because they still don't have meters here. So I never know when I'm, you know, I have to call in on my cell phone. But anyway, So when I hear static, I worry.
All right.
So John.
So anyway, I'm sorry to get to get this topic started, you know, slowly. But the thing is that we have indictments now in Georgia, which I warned against. Like I say, the most important thing to the future of our country is that Donald Trump has to fire his lawyers.
Right.
You know, except Christina Bob and Alina Haba, and maybe Harmon Dillon. And, you know, talk a lot about how, you know, the
well,
if
here's
you
a question.
Have a doctor watching another doctor,
right,
you can immediately tell that it's they're incompetent. The average person might not be able to tell, but I've gone into detail, and I'll say that Trump's lawyers are incompetent. They're no better than Republican politicians who are afraid of their own shadow. They're just screaming. I mean, today, this morning, Trump was supposed to give, and this is part of what I want to go through, he was supposed to give a presentation on how the election was stolen in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And his completely incompetent weenie lawyers talked him out of it. Now,
yeah, see,
that's
a problem, though, because that's happened before. You know, he let Dr. Fascist take over the podium, you know, during the COVID thing, and that was right out of Obama's playbook. They had already planned that ahead of time that he would do that. So Trump, he's got to go with his instincts. Now, why he let them do that to him again is a bad sign for his next term. How dare he let these idiots, you know, get him away from a presentation that probably was really good.
Well,
so,
the thing is that let me analyze legally a bit what's going on there. Because, number one, like I say, these kinds of lawsuits, as I said before, are unfamiliar to most lawyers. You know, you have to realize, oh, you go to a lawyer. Lawyers don't do this kind of thing. They have, as I was telling someone last night, you have – someone has a car accident or – Even if it's a DWI or some criminal defense or thing like that, you know, they go over – these days it's computerized, but literally, you know, just their image. They literally go over to the shelf, pull off a form letter pleading off the shelf, change the name, and file the same thing they've done 100 times before.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like this in the experience of 99.9% of lawyers. So if you say, well, you know, Trump should listen to his lawyers, or, you know, some of these political people should listen to his lawyers, the lawyers aren't familiar with this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am from working at Judicial Watch and that's those kinds of stuff. But anyway, so the thing is they're saying that you know, they're going to say that, because lawyers will typically say that they don't want their client say anything. Don't say anything. And of course, number one, there are no rules that always apply. You can't just say, well, here's the rule. You know, you shut up and let your lawyer speak for you. Well, your lawyer's not going to speak for you. They don't know what to do. And it's too late. I mean, anything that Donald Trump could say that might matter is long gone. You know, the horse has left the barn. And anything that Trump could say would only help him. So the failure to understand the difference between a generic rule and actually applying it to an individual case is part of what makes these lawyers incompetent. It's like a general fighting. It's like generals going into Vietnam and fighting World War II.
Right.
Generals
always fight
the
last war. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what Trump's lawyers are doing. So, you know, for example, when it comes to him getting out there and, giving his presentation on how the Georgia elections were stolen, it was the most brilliant move ever. Now, I'm not saying that Trump's instincts are always correct. They're up and not. I mean, I think he should listen more, but having listened, he should not be cowed by what these idiots are saying. So what is the number one issue in all of, well, in three of these Georgia one and the D.C. one. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the issue there about that they're trying to fabricate a crime out of his exercise of his First Amendment rights?
Mm-hmm.
But he went out there and said the election has been stolen, knowing that it hadn't been, right? So if he goes out there,
that's so stupid, Jonathan. That's such a ridiculous thing to say. Whether he knew it had been or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you, and we've talked about this before, if you hold politicians to the standard that they say something they know isn't true, every campaign promise, you know, becomes a fraud at that point and a chargeable offense.
Yes.
This is ludicrous.
Yeah.
And what are they trying to prove?
And,
so here's I think it's part of the cover up.
Republicans,
right?
And now we're $31 trillion in debt. You know, talk about, you know, fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that the establishment was all about, you know, we're not going to talk about the culture war. We just want to talk about economics. We're just going to talk about accountability. And yet somehow they managed to be completely incompetent at that. And I can't say that the Trump administration, in the middle of COVID, was fiscal responsibility. But, look at all their problems on your end.
The static is weird. I figure it's just the FBI, KGB, you know, messing with us. Because there's no static.
Do you
there's nothing
have
on.
You don't have a wireless microphone or anything, do you?
No, it's plugged in. In fact, everything's plugged in. Everything's in a cord. The static's getting worse. Well, I don't have anything on that I haven't had on before. Everything here is off except the fans, and they've been on for all my shows. Air conditioning's off. You know, the main electrical things are off. There's no microwave on. There's nothing that should provide interference. I have Ethernet cables to my modem. I have cables to my microphone.
Well, you saw that the Russian space probe crashed into the moon.
I haven't seen the video, but I'm waiting to see the videos of that. So they kind of screwed up on that one.
I don't think we're going to see videos. I think the news here is really missing. The deep state is really slipping, because they could laugh at Russia for a couple weeks, or they could say that there are space aliens who have a base on the pole of the moon. We need to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to defend against the space aliens. I mean, clearly,
well,
the Russians still
want to land on the moon too. You know, we land on the moon and they didn't, so that's still a point of contention, I think.
Yeah, of course. Well, the thing is, the other thing too is the thing that crashed Saturday was called Luna 25. That's because there was Luna 1 through. I mean, the Soviets did land unmanned probes on the moon before the United States did.
They
were first at every stage until the last point where they couldn't keep up. Maybe it's the space aliens on the moon that are interfering with your signal or whatever.
Something's wrong.
I'm just gonna bet. Huh?
Something's wrong, unless it's the new neighbors or something's going on. But no, I don't know what it is. Everything here is shielded, and it seems to be okay now. So let's just
it could be a solar flare or something like that is what I'm thinking.
Not intermittent
you know
like
that. I'm going to digress just for a moment to talk about PR technique. Because especially in the days of Pravda in the Soviet Union and in our lying, dishonest country today, people were joking. They were saying that Luna 25, arrived early. They beat its deadline. So it's a great success because Luna 25 landed on the moon sooner than expected.
Faster too.
And it also has covered much more of the moon in terms of space than expected at this point in its thing. Because of course it's scattered in a million.
Oh no, I know what you mean. Pieces. Yeah, the wreckage is everywhere. Yeah, but that's fascinating. I mean, PR, the spin. It's called for those that are new to this. It's called spin. And spin is the ability to take something and totally turn it around into something completely different. Well, that's going on all the time. That'd be like saying Maui was a victory because more people didn't get killed and it didn't spread to the other islands. They could, as I say, oh, here's one for you. The wildfires were contained on Maui and they didn't spread to the rest of Hawaii. So it's a victory. How's that for spin?
Uh-huh. Especially when the rest of Hawaii is separated by ocean.
Well, that's you're getting in the way of my argument if you're going to say that. I mean, you're confusing the details.
Right.
You know. Well, here's a question.
Anyway.
This is all right. Go ahead, because then I got a legal question.
Well, so I mean, I just want to go through the issues with the thing is that the issue with, I mean, the thing that they're trying to fabricate crimes that and everybody is, you know, from Alan Dershowitz to Jonathan Turley, there's an article up in a couple of days about American Thinker analyzing how. You know, as I think I said, you cannot conspire to do something that's not a crime. So you can't.
That's a great line. I'm stealing
you
that.
You can in an average, in a non-criminal sense, in a sloppy, secular. What's the word? I forget what the non-precise term. Just everyday life, you could say. You know, we're conspiring
ambiguous?
To have a surprise birthday party or something.
Right. Yeah. We have a beach conspiracy. We have a beach conspiracy. We're going to go to the beach. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And when you read the January 6th indictments, that's the way it reads. It's like, they looked online for, I'm not kidding you not. They looked online for hotels. And I'm usually joking. This is literally, you know, they went online and looked for hotels in the DC area. They booked a hotel. They planned out their trip by car, and this is proof of the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, millions of people travel to Washington D.C. every year. The economy of D.C. depends upon it.
January.
You know, so looking at the map,
it's cold in January.
And saying, I'm going to stop halfway, on my way to D.C. and here's where I'm going to stop at a hotel, and here's where I'm going to fill up on gas. You know, that's something that millions of tourists do every day. And if they stop, I mean, every year, and if they stop doing it, the Washington, D.C. economy is cooked. So those are things that they're trying to turn into a conspiracy. So what, what they can't understand is that there is, Trump and his people are being charged with committing conspiracies to do what is perfectly lawful, in fact, constitutionally guaranteed.
So they know they're going to lose. They know they're going to lose. So why are they doing this? These are non-lawful.
Because
losses.
In the short term, they think they can shut up Trump and keep him from exposing all their crimes.
Okay.
And the amazing thing is that, I am sure that all the deep state are staring at the wall in stupor. And thinking, but the American people were supposed to abandon him by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like,
they believe their own propaganda.
We've thrown everything we can.
Hmm? Yeah, they believe their own propaganda.
We've thrown
that's
everything we can at him. We keep talking at the same time, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we've thrown everything we can at him, and the American people are not obeying. I mean,
the
script.
His polls are going up every time they indict him.
Yes.
He gets more popular.
Yeah, and how can that be? Because they can only imagine. Uh-huh. They can only imagine that it's like Jim Jones in Guyana, where they were, it's a cult of Donald Trump. They cannot understand the idea. Like, no, we hate you more. You know, it's like if someone is going to come out and accuse somebody of something, it shouldn't be somebody that everybody hates even more. You know, so and the fact that they're playing these games and everybody knows it. It's like an 8-year-old doing a magic trick, and all the adults in the room have to sit there and nod, like, "Oh, that's so great, yeah."
Mm.
You know, and like nobody's the thing is, and we talked before about the difference between the liberals in the Bush administration. Who after 8 years of Reagan had to pretend that they're conservative. So then the meaning of the word conservative has been all, I mean, I lived through this. I was there.
Uh-huh.
They, 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 um, you know, they've, the meaning of the word conservative has been completely corrupted, because all the people who openly identified themselves as liberal Republicans proudly couldn't do it anymore after 8 years of Reagan, and they all called themselves conservative. And conservative means, means whatever they want to tell us it is. And one of the measures of a true Republican is elephants don't forget. You know, the liberals pretending to be conservatives, they all think we're stupid. They all think that we're going to forget what they've been doing for the last decades. You know, that they pull the same game, the same tricks, and nobody's going to notice. And they're baffled at the idea that, you know, we're not falling for it. And, you know, because falling for it, of course, depends on the fact that we don't remember anything and that we're stupid, because they think we're stupid.
Yeah. But we don't believe
anyway.
Their propaganda. Yeah. Well, here's this more insidious thing too, and this is the thought control. They have to do everything possible to erase the idea that there was any question about the 2020 election. So the fact that Trump is challenging it challenges them, because everybody knows, everybody who's anybody, especially Democrats, know that the election was stolen, because they know that Brandon could never beat Trump in a fair election. But they have to erase that memory. In fact, here's one of the most important things I think that is being missing, and I posted this on Facebook a little bit ago, is that we have to change the historical record. We have to make sure that generations from now, people know that this election was stolen, that Brandon was never the president, that everything he did was illegal. Every military action he took, every dollar that he spent, every executive order he signed was illegal, because he was never the president. He lost the election. And they have to erase that. They have to impact the fact that Trump is even saying that, and the fact that there's still Trump. Why are they going after the Trump electors? Why would they care? If they won the election fair and square, why would they care that states had Trump electors that are still viable? They wouldn't care.
There's a Facebook meme which should go everywhere, which is nothing says the election was stolen like arresting and prosecuting people who say it was stolen.
Well, yeah, send it to me. Post that. Send it to me or put it in Messenger or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're acting as guilty as it's like, you know, the way you tell a guilty person from an innocent person is you sit. In fact, I had a neighbor that slashed my tires. Well, this is years ago, back in California, and I said, "I know you did it. I can't prove it. I don't have video surveillance, but I know you did it because you're that kind of person. You slashed my tires." He says, "How dare you accuse me? How dare you? You know, you don't have any evidence." Da, da, da. I said, "And now I know you're guilty." I said, "If you're innocent, you would have said I didn't do it." But you never said that. You said, "How dare you accuse me?" That's the mark of a guilty person. So that's how I nailed him. I didn't even have to have evidence. He confessed himself. So anybody that says, "How dare you accuse us of this?" You know, and that's what they're doing with these lawsuits and charges. They're admitting guilt, because if they're innocent, then we didn't steal the election. What are you talking about? Don't be stupid.
Right.
And here's, you know,
so
they have never once proven they've won. They've never proven they've won. They just said there's no evidence they didn't win. They never proven they've won.
Well,
they've never had an audit. Right.
Of course, there is overwhelming evidence, but again, we've mentioned here that an audit is not a recount.
Right.
Like I say, I've said sometimes, when you go to the IRS, if the IRS questions your tax bill, they don't. A recount means they just redo the math. They accept the same numbers claimed on your form and just make sure you did your math correctly, which is fine.
Yeah.
An audit is to go look at the underlying transactions.
Mm-hmm.
So recounts are, you know, are bogus when it comes to
elections.
Yeah,
they just count the fraud twice. That doesn't prove anything.
And so, exactly. So, I mean, you've got the guy who drove the truck full of ballots. I mean, the stuff coming out of Michigan is incredible.
The evidence is so overwhelming, but that's not the question. But the thing is, there's two things that have never happened. One, the Republicans have never had the House Select Committee on the stolen election of 2020. That shows they're complicit in it. And two, the people that the alleged people that won, the deep state, has never proven that Brandon won. They've never called for an audit. They do those recounts that are bogus. We all know that. They've never said, no, and we can prove that he won. Here's how. Here are the elections. Here are the verified signatures.
Right.
Here's the evidence. Here's that. They've never done that. Why? Because they know the election was stolen. Everybody knows it was stolen,
right,
especially the people that stole it. So the going after people
I
that
mean,
are
you
accusing
have,
them.
You,
of, yeah, you know what I'm saying, right? Go ahead.
You have Bill Barr warning offices of the Department of Justice, do not look into election fraud. And then
that's because he stole
found
it.
No evidence.
He's part of the coup.
So we found no evidence of election fraud after warning the various attorney, you know, various offices and things, don't look.
Yeah.
And
again, if you don't look, you can't find. Go ahead, Jackie.
Bill Barr looked guilty. He looked like he just came out of a steam room. Sweating.
Who is that?
With what, young boys or what?
Barr, no, he's guilty. He's got the guilt look on him, and he looked like you sweated it out of him. He's just cooling down after being sweaty. The former attorney general.
Uh-huh. That's great. No, but no, but it's true because I think he figured like, okay, you know, put his finger in the wind, you know, which way is the wind blowing, mm-hmm. and he's just like, you know, all in on where he thinks the issue is. But we have how could somebody issue memos and mm-hmm. phone calls saying don't look. And then get on TV and tell the American people, we didn't find any evidence. I mean, stupid does he think we are?
Didn't the courts do that? Didn't the courts do that too? They said they said there's no election fraud by refusing to look at the election fraud. It was right there in front of them.
Right.
I see nothing.
Get that evidence out of my...
I hear nothing. This is the Sergeant Schultz defense. This is what
uh-huh.
it is.
Get that evidence out of my courtroom, and I haven't seen any evidence.
How dare you present evidence?
Don't let that evidence into my into my courtroom.
Well, you know what states should do is say that look, unless you have more transparency in your election and making sure that the people that's participating are properly vetted, we're not going to hold your federal elections. We're going to hold our state local election. We're not going to hold your federal elections.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah,
I like that. Have we ever boycotted an election? Has the state ever said, I'm not going to participate? That's a great idea.
Well, I mean,
I like this.
I mean, early on, there were times, including mm-hmm. in the brief that Action Radio participated on. Mm-hmm. They have, there are times when the state legislatures just decided the electors without a popular election. There's even a couple times when there's popular elections and canceled the pending election or overrode the pending election with the state issuing thing. And in 2000, in Bush v. Gore, now remember, nothing like 2020 has ever happened before, except all the other times that it happened. and you know, we had Bush v. Gore in 2000.
Right.
And, you know, the Florida legislature was tuning up the orchestra to have a session to directly appoint the Bush electors. I mean, it's in the news coverage at the time.
Okay.
They were preparing scheduling and sessions and hearings to directly choose the Bush slate of electors.
Right.
For because of the dispute and the problems in the election, and then the Supreme Court stepped in.
Which they can do. State legislatures control the electors.
Right. So I can't say that we've ever boycotted it, but in effect, you know, there are things like that we could do. And I think that Trump has come out to somewhat, like to say, random legal and political things there. I don't know if you noticed that he announced his new trademark, or what they call it, a service mark, for support for donations. He's saying unless a candidate or an organization has this trademark on it, it's illegitimate. And now,
what's the trademark? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, a trademark is on a physical product. And people use trademark, and trademark law is extremely serious. And all the donor class depends on trademarks for their businesses. So mm-hmm. it's kind of hard for them, you know, to water down trademark law. Because you had all these Trump PACs that don't do anything. You know, all they do is raise money to raise money. And my point being that we do have to reach a point where we say, if you don't deal with election integrity, Why should we pay for your campaign consultants? Why should we donate a penny to you if it's just going to be wasted?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these professional organizers and campaign consultants and things like that. What good are you? Why should we donate one penny to you know, even if you did a perfect job and like that, and it's just going to be stolen in the election? Why bother?
Yeah.
You know, I'll take my kids out to Six Flags or something. you know, forget to take my grandkids.
Donate to Action Radio. At least you know we produce results. Yeah. Yeah, we have a trademark. We have our new logo, which we came out with about a year ago. We've got a trademark thing as well with the USPTO, U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. The first one they rejected. And so I am well-versed in trademark, you know, dealings. And they're the best people in government I've ever dealt with. The trademark people, the lawyers I've talked to there, the ones that managed it the first time and the ones that are going to be doing it the second time. There's a backlog. There's like a year backlog. So we were going to be a while. But they were fabulous. They're really decent. They're good at what they do. They're fair. And I understood why they rejected it the first time. So I made a better one the second time, you know. And that to me is exactly how the process should work. You know, and so we've got but this time we trademarked the logo. And so it's going to be, here's the nice thing about trademarks. I don't know if a lot of people know this. The minute you send it in and get your application approved, then you're holding your trademark and your logo. And that's a really great protection. You know, so even if I remember when I first filed it, within like 7 hours, I had a trademark attorney, you know, ad on a YouTube I was watching. Like, how the hell did they get that fast? Well, these are public documents, right? And so anybody that searches, they're going to find that Action Radio is already, you know, trademark spending, can't steal it, sorry. But it is it's in the Constitution, you know, patenting science and the useful arts, you know, things like that, or promote science and the useful arts, and have trademarks and patents. That is incredibly important to protecting property. So I urge folks to do that. But it takes years to get one. But once you get that stamp in there, once you've applied, you know, you can sit back and just wait because nobody can take it. Because it's now an ongoing process. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the point being that we have to make it so all these rhino and, you know, go along to get along Republicans and all their campaign consultants, which really deny things, like, we're not. You know, you're not going to get a dime if you're going to go through all this stuff, waste all this money on an election that isn't secure.
Yeah.
Why should we pay you a dime? I mean, you're going to have to go get a real job.
Well, I actually have a stronger one than that. First of all, I forgot to get Marco's comment in here. Marco we were talking earlier about, you know, denials and things and accusations. He brought up the Greta Thunberg. He says, how dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood. So I just want to get Marco's plug in there. He's listening in the Netherlands.
He's what?
Do you remember we were talking before about if you accuse somebody of doing something, the innocent person says, I didn't do it. I was like in California. What are you talking about? Get over it. You know,
right.
You know, and a guilty person says, how dare you accuse me? That works in relationships too, by the way. So then Marco puts in on our live chat, which everybody should do, but it only exists during the live show. That's why you can't see it. So that's why I have to read his comments. He says, how dare you? He's giving me the thumbs up. He says, you've stolen my dreams and my childhood. From the spoiled brat who was 16 years old when she lied about climate change. Anyway, but here's my thing. I have a pledge. Now, I put this on Facebook. I want to do more of it. But the pledge is that if the Republicans don't start arresting people and can.
Anyway, so here's the thing to wrap up.
All right, go ahead.
This morning there was supposed to be what?
Well, I had a point. We were both talking at the same time again. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You first.
Okay. You're not. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. If you're not finished.
Well, what I was saying was I have a new pledge.
Can't arrest people.
Oh. Wait, Pianchi. All right.
Congress, only the DOJ has to do that.
Okay, wait. Well, let me finish the point. I'll tell you what. I have a pledge that says that unless the Republicans, in other words, the state attorney generals and district attorneys and all these folks, if they don't start arresting Democrats, I'm not gonna vote for a Republican except for Trump. And I think if we start talking about that, so I'm basically boycotting until they start arresting. You know, why is it that Trump's the only person arrested? Why haven't the Republicans had several counter arrests of any day? I don't care who they arrest. Get up a charge. Do something. You know, I mean, they'll get thrown out of court anyway, but you've got to start fighting fire with fire. And I don't mean to cast aspersions on Maui, but they've got to start doing something. They don't do anything. They just sit back and say, well, Trump's going to eventually win this lawsuit. No, you got to start right now. and start arresting Democrats or charging Democrats with something. And there's enough to charge them with, you know, I'm sure.
Well,
but the attorney generals need to. Now, obviously, the DOJ is not going to do it because they're controlled by Brandon.
That's where it has to be at, Greg.
Only the federal charges.
Remember, Congress.
How about state elections?
Don't have no policing authority.
No, I know that. Bianca, you're missing the point. State attorney generals can arrest using state
what you're
charges.
Saying. It's a good point.
But state attorney generals, state charges, state election fraud. Easy peasy. They've got to start arresting Democrats. And charging them.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what's the point? They're not fighting back. And I'm not going to vote for Republicans so they don't fight back. I'll vote for Trump because he is fighting back. Even my own congressman, Mack,
I don't blame
you. Who should have sponsored a House election committee on the stolen election? He should have been the first one out there. He and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert.
People say, like, oh, I like Trump except for, you know, if you could just tone down the mean tweets. I'm like, the mean tweets are why I support Trump.
Exactly.
You know, because these pathetic Republicans, they think that you can win a victory without fighting. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, is that they think that they can we can win. Like, no, you have to. You know, somebody pointed out on the radio over the weekend that the Republicans are fighting are playing checkers, and the Democrats are playing rugby. You know, it's just like we are our own worst enemies.
No, the Republicans are serving tea. The Republicans are serving tea to the Democrats, and the Democrats have execution squads. it's so totally different.
And when you point it out,
aren't doing anything. Yeah,
these Garden Party Republicans,
mm-hmm.
the jellyfish Republicans, the invertebrates. Mm-hmm. They are passionately committed to the idea that their way is right. It's like, well, you're being mean. Hell yeah, I'm being mean. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, try to imagine Hillary Clinton debating John McCain or Mitt Romney. She would have walked all over them because they would have been gentlemen. They would have been polite. They would have been afraid to say anything. Trump gets up and says, when Hillary says, I forget what she said, but he said, if I was in charge, you'd be in jail. You know, I mean, that was a great line. But the genteel Republicans, you know, the nicest thing about Trump is he actually, and I point this out, people have forgotten this, but he actually treated women as equals. He went after Hillary like she was a guy, you know, quite honestly. He went after her as if she was an opponent. He didn't discriminate against her because she is a woman. He didn't give her the gentle velvet glove treatment. He went after her like he should have because she was trying to throw him out. So Trump is actually treating women very equally, and people miss that. But here's the biggest problem, too. Reporters. I've talked to reporters personally who have said, I don't want to be a conservative news advocate. I want to maintain my objectivity. So they'll report on a story. But those days are the objective journalism, those days are gone. They left 20 years ago. The Democrat media, you know, machine, from the bureaucrats to the Congress to the deep state to the intelligence, you know, community to the media, is a single fascist organization. And these conservative journalists who refuse to do anything are going
to. You know,
over.
One thing that needs to be done that could be
what do you
done
think
about, is to boycott D.C.
No. I want to talk about the journalists for a minute. Yeah. Okay. So I want to get Jonathan's. Jonathan, these journalists, they're trying to maintain objectivity. That's as bad as the Republicans not fighting back. Jonathan?
Well, yeah.
Where they go on with the flow.
Hold on, Pianchi. Jonathan? We only got
a couple
minutes.
That's what I'm trying to say about the fact that this is, you know, that this is a revolutionary enterprise.
Okay.
It would be like the South Vietnamese saying, oh, let's just invite them over and, like you say, and let's just have dinner and we'll talk it out, we'll hug it out, and it'll everything will get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that, no, their goal is to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, destroying the non-communist Vietnam is not a byproduct. It's the goal. It, you know, it's not a bug. It's the feature.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to murder you, South Vietnamese, is the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you say, so having journalists to now who are, who are part of the struggle, part of the, they're part of the revolution, is not some accident that, some wrinkle that we can iron out. It's the goal. I mean, the long march through the institution, like I say, taking over every institution in support of the, the communist enterprise, that's the game plan. It's not like, oh, this one journalist is just sort of, misguided. No, they're not misguided. They know exactly what they're doing.
I want to get a point from Pianchi, and he had a point to make, and then I want to talk about Mike Lindell's waste opportunity with us. And then I think Dorothy will be joining us probably any minute now. Pianchi, you wanted to make a point earlier.
Well, what I was going to say is that there needs to be a boycott in the D.C., being that it depends so much on tourism. Remember, the NAACP told blacks to boycott Florida?
We should have D.C. as unsafe for Americans. Yeah, it's to say, boycott D.C., it's unsafe for Americans. How's that for a campaign?
Well, it is. You may get indicted.
I may. Hey, listen, FBI, KGB, I'm here. You know where to find me. Everybody does.
No, but he's saying if you go to D.C.
Right. No, we should boycott D.C. I agree. Well, I didn't want to.
If you do something in the panhandle of Florida, technically, you have to be tried in the panhandle of Florida.
One would think.
In which case, I believe that, that the jury in the panhandle of Florida would sentence the prosecutor, to 20 years of hard labor. The problem with all these things is the District of Columbia.
Yeah. I got Dorothy on the line. Yeah, go ahead, finish up, Jonathan. I got one more quick point to make.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that you're right. If you go, the problem with these political prosecutions is that if you go into and are then alleged, as a complete fantasy, to having committed a crime in one of these left-wing jurisdictions, you're going to be tried by a jury that is completely politicized. And again, these are not rational people who have been won over to a left-wing point of view. The radical revolutionary point of view is to destroy rationality. It's like rationality is the enemy of the revolution. So it's not that these are rational thinking people who are going to maybe have a left-wing tilt. They are people whose ability and willingness to think has been eradicated.
Yeah.
The political cause is all. There is nothing but the politics.
Well, there's also a conflict of interest too. No, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. And I got one more point to make. I'll say my Mike Lindell rant of the wasted opportunity of not having Action Radio there for 2 days. And the whole idea that the conservatives don't actually want to fight back. They just want to talk about it. Those DC juries, this conflict of interest, they work for the federal government. Their incomes, their livelihoods, their houses, their families, their vacations, their power, their investments are all tied up in not having Donald Trump fire them when he comes back into office. That inherent conflict of interest makes anybody in D.C. Unable to serve on a jury just for that reason. All right. So let me all right, gentlemen, thank you. Let me get on to Dorothy, who has a very interesting side topic, which should be really fun. We'll get to that in just a second. Here we go.
Okay.
Sex. Everybody talks about it. Some of you are even doing it. But are you really talking to the person you are doing it with? It all comes down to communication. That's where Dorothy Diana comes in. Dorothy is a sexual health nurse educator. She has studied hypnotherapy, Reiki, and many other disciplines. And what is sex without sensuality? Something has to light your afterburner. Join us now for a sometimes very frank and occasionally quite descriptive conversation of sex and sensuality with Dorothy Diana. Now, see, I'm in such a great mood right now. I want to talk about sex and sensuality. You want to bring politics into it, so that's okay. That's okay.
I don't want to. I'm not going to.
You're not going to? Oh, come on.
No, I have worked through that desire, and I felt
feel better
this today.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah,
did you see my
I'm
Facebook,
sure you've already covered it, though.
Well, we covered a lot in the first couple hours. Yeah, everybody check the podcast. Check the podcast out when you get a chance. It's been pretty lively around here. Did you get my comment on you had this wonderful post that, you know, all these things that alter your brain. Did you get my comment?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to comment on my comment?
I thought it was funny that you and the two first commenters were men, and you both said the same thing, which, and I thought it was cute, so I just let it sit there because I thought it was adorable. And I felt it was also a rhetorical. So the question, the post was many things that rewire our brain. So instead
you
of
read
a
some
constant
of them. Do you have the post
low
there?
Vibration?
It's
in case instead
post.
Of a constant, low vibrational state of, I'll find it.
Okay.
of like negativity and spiraling thoughts and it's not enough. I don't have enough. I'm not pretty enough. You know, he doesn't really love me, like whatever it is, my job doesn't respect me. So those make wired connections, as most of us know, in the brain. And those thoughts, when repeated, become habitually our personality over time. And so we get a lot of those messages, obviously, from our parents, from culture, I mean, from school, I would say, a lot of us. And we didn't even know where they came from, but we're walking around as adults with these beliefs that are ingrained. And we may not even know it. So the first step is noticing, you know, your mood and your thoughts and like kind of questioning, are they true? And there are absolutely easy, workable, amazingly successful things we can do to change those thought habits, change those patterns, and literally rewire the network of our brain to become a person who attracts great love, who has great job experiences, who gets promoted, who has abundance, who is popular, or whatever it is you want. We absolutely can become that person. So the post was just the things that rewire the brain. And
I want to read this because it's so funny. Yeah, no, here's this food. But you got to get the you got to get the repetition, which it really makes it clear. So you said food rewires the brain. Music rewires the brain. Travel rewires the brain. Reading rewires the brain. Learning rewires the brain. Laughter rewires the brain. I'll just kind of skip the rewires. It says it for all, though. Gratitude, movement, meditation, breath work, community, quality sleep, time in nature, positive thought, acts of kindness. Rewire the brain. So what did I say? Apparently some other guy said the same thing. I'm trying to pull up the comments.
Well, you said, what about something like, what about sex? You know, what about sex?
I said sex. If you screw your brains out.
Sex if you screw your brains out. Yeah, that was very clever. And I let it sit because it was funny and because it's, you know, it's true, of course, on many levels. Good sex, obviously, does so many things, not just for the brain and the body, but our vibrational energy. There's many things when it's with a great partner. But
where are the women? They didn't. I thought I was going to raise some controversy, and nobody said anything. And I was disappointed.
Think about all of those things in the post can be done during sex or with sex.
Ooh.
So what if you included? What if you did a double whammy of rewiring by, you know, doing all of those things one at a time?
Well, I say sex is a continuum. Sex is not an act. You know, sex is a continuum. It's part of, there's before, during, and after. And it's now, does sex rewire your brain? I guess it does.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so, and that's like even more scientifically easy to find out than this stuff. So the manifestation neural rewiring, I would say, is not a newer science, but it's been so suppressed and so not discussed that people feel like it's this new thing that's happening, this manifestation practices to rewire the brain for success. But the stuff on you know, hormones and oxytocin and what, like, who has a great active sex life and what is the biggest determinant? And it really always comes back to attitudes, communication, open-heartedness, vulnerability, and your attitude about your own body and your partner. Right.
Does sex make you smarter?
I don't want to get too off topic because I'm very excited about what I came to discuss.
But
you want to
do that one next week?
I do like that topic. So if we think about exercise, any kind of cardiovascular exercise and what it does for our brain health, I mean, we can just start with even that thing and good
okay.
sexual activity,
so the short answer
right?
is yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having more sex makes you smarter. Okay. You hear that, everybody out there? Start making love. Make love, make brains.
So,
that's my new slogan today. So what's your topic?
Yeah, that was cute about the comment, and the first two commenters were men, and they want to know, hey, can I rewire my brain with good sex? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. I love that.
Good.
Right?
Well, we're guys. That's what we do. You know, we're just expecting more women to react, and that's part of the fun of it. But I was surprised more people didn't react because I got distracted after work on Sundays. But I'm surprised more women didn't.
I posted a lot that day. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We were distracted by multiple posts. Okay. So what's been on your mind? What do you want to talk about?
A lot. And I didn't really continue the conversation. I'm sorry. I have two topics for today. And you know, embodiment was on my mind for last week. Embodiment is such a hot topic. And it's funny that this movement practice I've done for so many years is embodiment. And it used to be no one knew what we were talking about. We'd say sensual embodied movement. And it was like we were speaking, you know, a foreign language. And now that is everywhere, embodiment. And people are realizing how it's vital and how we became disembodied in this culture, especially growing up, and why it's crucial for happiness and wellness and full
okay.
self-realization. So that was my topic for last week. It was really on my mind. And then I had a dream last night. And I just feel like I should go with my dream. And my dream was...
Dream?
No, I didn't. I don't need
you.
To have those because my sex life is so good outside of... Sleep.
Oh,
but,
congratulations.
But,
that's wonderful.
Know.
Are you smarter now?
I am a freaking genius, Greg. What?
See, I already knew that. Yeah, I did. Yeah. let's give you a round of applause here for your great sex life. And all of you have great sex lives out there. It's speaking like the Dr. Ruth show. Remember Dr. Ruth? If I tell you to have great sex. Yeah, Ruth.
She was the breaker of all the boundaries. She was the one that forged the path. Yeah.
Yep. Have great sex. Thank you very much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And now the next
Isn't that wonderful?
She was
And
great.
The fact that she was German and she was elderly, all those things make it so much better. Because now you have a lot of sex experts that are super hot, like sort of this perfectious body perfection.
Really?
Like if you look online, I mean, okay, now I don't want to say anything offensive because one of my favorite sex
experts
who's legit, isn't
right.
like that. She's actually, I've talked to her on the phone before, and she's very famous and she's very well known. She's actually really authentic and the real deal and very cute, but not trying so hard. But if you look, a lot of the sex experts that have a lot of internet and social media presence and, you know, they're kind of younger. So you're like wondering how much experience they've actually had, but they're very, like in your face with the big boobs and the perfect makeup and the perfect hair. And it's interesting. And I love that Dr. Ruth really was just the real deal, like Pat Allen almost, like taking
yeah, sex
it down
is for real people.
To what
it's
sexuality
not for super...
actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. Sex isn't for supermodels. It's for regular people. You know,
and almost there's an irony of presenting yourself as perfect in cultural terms. Online,
yeah.
There's almost an irony because we've discussed before on the program, Greg, that perfectionism is one of the layers of sexuality that's not the top. It's on our road to soulful sexual expression. Performative,
right.
Performative is really very is a little primitive and more immature of a sexual presentation. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
it's fine, but it's on the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so my topic, the dream I had was common sexual problems and how to address them simply and holistically. And I'm not sure why I had that dream, but I feel like I need to do that today a little bit, cover that at least as much as I can. Somebody needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
So, So let's start with stage fright or just temporary erectile dysfunction. And,
You
very
call it stage
common.
Fright?
Well, I mean, that's a cute term for it, right? The reason I said stage fright and not ED, ED is such a term that's been so overused in the past 20 years since the advent of Viagra that it almost has like a hypnotic brainwashing meaning for a lot of people. Like, I don't like the term medical erectile dysfunction. I feel like it's it's rarely a medical problem unless it's because of other drugs you're taking. It usually comes down to, yeah, go ahead.
Psychological, right? I mean, do they make a distinction with doctors and the journals and all that stuff between psychological and physical erectile issues? I don't say dysfunction. There's a negative word for you. You know, they don't talk about female sexual dysfunction. Just, you know, women, do you have sexual dysfunction?
And that's what they call it for women, too. That's what they call it. And I don't like that word either. I like opera so cheesy and like self-help, but it's true. It is an opportunity.
No, where's that power? Yeah.
Yeah, they do. If I have vaginal dryness, for instance, and I can't figure it out, I'm turned on by my partner. I don't feel any different, but I am of an age where premenopause is knocking at the door. I mean, I'm actually at an age where I should be in menopause, but I'm so healthy that I'm not. But I'm just going to throw myself.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, we'll talk about that too. Delaying the inevitable.
What would I do? What am I going to do? So I'm like, huh, this is interesting. And then first thing I'm going to look at is my hydration. I'm going to look at my stress. I'm going to look at what has happened recently. Did I go through, was there like a little virus that went through my family? Because
Not. You know, did someone in your family have an illness? You know, and all these things,
Because
you have to move.
A lot of the virus is going around now. A lot of the illness is going around now. Have weird symptomatology. I'm not going to get too into that now, but I do look at that when one of my children or myself or someone I know has a weird symptomatology. I like to kind of look at it holistically, like we're doing right now with vaginal dryness. So I'm going to look at. I'm going to be curious. I'm not going to be like, oh my god, because you know what? My man and I, we can take care of that. We have got great communication.
That's good.
He is not like so fragile that he's going to be like, oh my God, I don't turn you on, because I can't roll with that. That energy just doesn't work. You know, the fragility.
Well, he wouldn't be your man anyway, if that were the case. That'd be the first thing.
Yeah. Like, right. Like, no, that's just, you know, it's just not productive. So, so in the meantime, we've talked about this on the show before, let's get some, you know, fun things involved to solve the problem. Like saliva is a great lubricant. So are many foods.
Well, I wonder, you know,
delicious foods.
Well, I should say food. If we have an issue like low testosterone, for example, first thing I do is go to the internet and go, well, what foods boost testosterone? Turns out to be a lot of stuff I'm eating.
Right.
The stuff I'm eating now does a great job. It also works for brain and hair growth and everything else. You know, I've got my superfood list. And so they work for a multitude of different things. But yeah, there's sex food. You know, everything. You know, if you're whatever you need, whatever you're missing. You know, magnesium regulates your temperature or something else. I don't know what
magnesium
regulates blood flow.
Low magnesium levels have enormous effects in many areas. It's really underestimated about magnesium. And I won't get into that now, but I love that you mentioned the magnesium. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so
we had Dr. Artis on talking about temperature. Yeah. But I mean, why people immediately think, first of all, you can't get guilt about this because stuff happens. You know, when you get a cold, you feel guilty. Oh no, I can't believe I got a cold. I must have done something bad. You know, whereas with sex things, you think, oh, I must have done something bad. Something's not working. I need my blue pill or I need my lubricant or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever,
we go to medication.
You know.
So we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I'm not going to talk about any medication because I don't even vibe that way at all. I would do probably even an experiment. Like if I thought, shoot, is there like an emotional block with my man? Did he do something? Mm. And I'm like, so I'm going to say the word. Can I say the P word? Can I say that?
Sure. You can say what you want.
Okay. Cause I love that word. And, so
I don't,
she knows.
Just,
well, I'm going to say it.
It sounds, somehow
power activate.
Oh, that word, the P word. Well, you can say that word. That's okay too.
Yeah. So pussy knows more than sometimes the heart and the brain even. And she's super keyed in. So something may have happened in my relationship where I didn't feel great, or I have like my intuition tells me something's off. Maybe there's a new secretary at work. I don't know what it is. Maybe I have insecure. I mean, so sometimes she knows. So I might do an experiment if I have vaginal dryness and go to some feminist, erotic, whatever kind of porn or something that I know it reliably turns me on outside of my relationship and see, does she work now? Is she working now? And is she not working? And so that would be a clue like, oh, okay. So it has something to do with our relationship right now. Wow. Let's go there. And then I would do some, I had this lovely practice I learned this year, called heart listening, where I ask my divine consciousness. I ask myself myself always tells me like stuff my brain doesn't know,
too much.
But my heart does. Yeah, my brain can't figure it out because it's too analytical. My heart knows, so, okay, what did I get wounded? Like, what happened? And so that's how I would solve it, that was relational. Mm-hmm. But I want to throw out homeopathy as a remedy for vaginal dryness that isn't talked about a lot, that works beautifully. And if while you're figuring it out, if you would like to super hydrate and take some homeopathy just in the meantime, that will relieve vaginal dryness in most women. It's very effective. And
homeopathy being what? Oh, you actually mentioned what it is? Yeah, go ahead. Feel free.
Yeah, so homeopathy is the brand of science that has been completely smeared, and they attempted to debunk it in the medical industry for many years because
it's
so
what
effective.
We call medicine around here. We call it medicine around here, so feel free.
And I've used it since my kids were babies. It's so safe for children and for adults also, and very effective, like shockingly effective. But the two for vaginal dryness are sepia and lycopodium, the top two. And I would absolutely run out to Whole Foods or grab the Amazon One Day Prime delivery and get that on my nightstand.
What are they?
And they're just little, they taste like sugar tabs. They're tiny, and you let them melt in your mouth. My favorite dosing, if I'm not going to research it, and this is the lazy nurse in me that just, it's funny, nurses can be so particular with patients, and then at home they're like, whatever, I'll just take whatever.
Well, I mean, why do doctors smoke? I mean, it's the same thing, right? You know, they know it's bad. They do it anyway, you know, yeah.
I don't know that it's bad. That's a whole nother show. So my dosage for all homeopathy and homeopathy, doctors are probably going to their heads are going to explode at this, but I like to do 3 tabs under the tongue, 5 minutes apart. I usually do 6 cc, and super low dose and then wait. So 3 doses, 3 tabs. That's a general dosing for homeopathy. But if you look online, there's wonderful websites. Like ABC homeopathy.
Post them in our life and health coaching page. Yeah, can you do that?
There's so many, Greg, there's so many now that
there's
so many now that are like sort of, in my opinion, false and not really. They're just
people
who like
you can post in our life and health coaching page things that you believe in, you know, that's fine.
My favorite. Yeah, because there's some tried and true that have been around forever that are very reliable, but they're harder to find now. Yeah,
of course, because they work.
For vaginal dryness. Yeah.
They want you to buy,
and they're cheap and,
you know, the expensive stuff. Yeah,
like expensive hormonal creams. I mean, things that really jack up a woman's system. You know, if it comes down to, you know, you're having these persistent problems, you know, with libido as a woman or vaginal dryness, and, you know, you start to feel like there is something hormonally off, absolutely, functional medicine. They'll do a hair test. They'll do blood tests. They will get to the root of it, and without medicine, they will heal you. The stories I hear on the, like, weekly from women who, you know, went to MDs for years, OBs, and they couldn't find out what, and they were on Accutane, they're on, you know, spironolactone, they're on birth control, they're on all these estrogens, and then they spend a few months with a functional MD or even a functional nutritionist, and they're off of everything. And their problems are vanishing. PCOS gone. I have 2 friends in just my close friend circle that cured PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, from going through functional. So I was going to add that, you know, for a woman, try to go that route. You'll be truly healed and have balanced hormones versus increased risk of breast cancer and just more problems down the road if you go more of a natural route with functional. There's so much good available remedies out there, bioidentical hormones and all this. So,
I remember just a quick digression here. When I had heart surgery, they gave me all kinds of medicine, including blood thinners, which I think almost killed me when my chest filled with fluid. But that's not the main story here. They had all kinds of medicines, the daily aspirin, some other things they were giving me. And every time I dropped the medicine, I felt better. I couldn't lose weight. And I had a huge weight problem after surgery. I gained like 150 pounds. I still don't know why. Water, you know, whatever else it was, hormone, big changes. Heart surgery is really rough on you. But after a while, it's really good that you have it, because you think, wow, I don't have to do that again. And now I have all this extra, you know, blood flow and air in my lungs. It's great. So anyway, but the point was that every one of those medicines increased your weight. And they never told me that. It's like, I'm trying to lose weight. They give me medicines that increase my weight. So as soon as I get rid of the medicines, A, I felt fine, and B, I started losing weight. So, you know, you got to read the labels. You know, you got
to
be your own
it's
doctor.
It's so interesting. Half the time, they don't even know. I mean, I hate to say it,
No, I believe it. Yeah,
I mean, when I worked in cardiology, like, they would come in, the drug reps would come in with new medications, and the practitioner education was quite limited because they came in during office hours and you were seeing patients, first of all. Sometimes you get a lunch, but really you're very, very busy. And so we took their word for it, and they would lightly touch on side effects and lightly touch on drug-drug interactions. But for the most part, it's how fantastic it is, how great it is, all the stuff it does, look at the wonderful trials. And, you know, we trusted them because they came in for years. I mean, it's just interesting. Like, I wonder if your doctors even knew is my thought.
Oh, I don't know. Very possibly not. But I, like I say, I not only look into the drugs, I look into the other drugs that the, you know, that they're mixing with. So I'm pretty good at looking stuff up now. I want to get back to our main topic here, and I'm wondering how much of, you know, this the sexual stuff is emotional. In other words, like you say, you know,
yeah,
if I can use the
so
word myself too, the
actually,
pussy knows, you know, the dick knows too. You know,
right.
If we get real graphic here, folks, just for a little bit, how many guys? You know, and I think, I don't know if the guilt is the same for women, but guys, we're supposed to perform. There's a word I can't stand. All right. Perform, which means if you can't, you know,
can't.
If you're not ready for sex, you know, 24/7, then, but psychologically you might think you want to be with this person, but maybe down deep in your subconscious, your body's telling you, no,
right.
You're not going to be with this person. We're not going to let you, you know, your man part has decided to check. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
the
guy.
Trauma bond. This is your mother. You're trying to heal some old wounds. This woman's got codependent issues. She's going to be like a freaking psycho if you sleep with her. Go, rah. Right. That's
yeah.
It. Yeah. Hey, I love it. So men have been.
You know, Monty Python.
Men
yeah.
have been shamed. Men have been shamed, and so men have shame like women do, and the penis reflects that sometimes. So.
Yeah.
You know.
So men, listen to your man part.
Yes.
There's a reason it's not working.
How much of it is
psychological?
The more I research, honestly, the more I feel like everything ties back to your healthy lifestyle, getting rid of toxins and medications. Medications, pornography, and lack of healthy intimate relationships are the causes of so many of these things. And the doctors will say, oh, it's genetic or oh, it's age. No. It's not. I mean, yes, our hormones shift as we age naturally, but you can optimize your hormones and then you switch your sexual practices. We've talked about this before. We have less emphasis once we enter our 50s on the vaginal penetrative sex, the pounding and thrusting to make a baby. And it evolves naturally.
Yeah.
It shifts naturally. And,
and
this might sound unattractive to some men who feel this might threaten their masculinity or I'm not. But it does naturally shift. And when the expectations from a woman and her desires shift, it's not that she never wants that, but her vagina is changing also. The tissues are shifting and changing her hormones. And it's a beautiful shift in intimate relationship. It becomes much less goal-oriented, much more playful and soft and cuddly. I mean, yes, there can be kink. Yes, there can be those moments of... you know, raw, you know, sex porn activity, but
blacking out,
but it does shift
in physical pounding. Exactly. Yeah.
What? Yeah. I mean, there's no rules, but just accept that a shift is happening and delight in it, be excited for it. And I said the attitude towards, but again, not accepting that not being able to have sex, having painful sex, not being able to have an erection, we're not accepting that's natural, normal, and that you should live your life that way, unless there is some severe actual injury or something.
Well, that's the question. Do you have, how much is physical and how much is psychological? You know, like I say, if you're right, if with the right person, you know, that'll help. I'll tell you the biggest thing that helps, and I'm noticing as I'm losing weight, everything, you know, including the man part, you know, works better when you lose weight. So the number
exercise
one thing I would
health,
tell men.
Lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exercise, health, lifestyle. Lose weight. Before you go on the blue pill, guys, lose weight. Get to your ideal weight. And then if there's still a problem, you know. But losing weight works for everything.
Obesity lowers testosterone more than almost anything else naturally. Like,
that's interesting.
It's the biggest for children, and we've seen it in adolescent boys. They're developing small penises and small testicles into adulthood because they're so obese in childhood. And,
oh,
and you
wild.
Can't reverse a lot of that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's too bad.
It has epidemic proportion. So,
so we have an epidemic of smaller men. This is not good for our species. Yeah. Guys, lose weight.
Yep.
Because we didn't, when I was a kid, you know, I didn't gain weight until, you know, I've had been slightly overweight or you know, at the right weight, depending, you know, at different times of my life. Heart surgery was the worst. Massively overweight. Never been that large. And of course, nothing works. I mean, nothing works when you're that heavy. You can't do anything. You don't feel like doing anything. You know, I couldn't bike ride, and it was weird. And it was a direct result of heart surgery, because before that I was, you know, like an ideal 220 something, 230, because I'm 6'2". You know, so that was a good weight. It wasn't a perfect weight, but it was good. I still have my old jeans. I'm keeping my jeans for when I fit in my old jeans again before heart surgery. I know I'm back where I was, but I knew I was going to get back there. So psychologically, I kept them just for that reason. I said, when I can wear these again, then I'm good. We're almost there. But the number one weight thing, and that's fascinating you say about testosterone and weight. Now, should any man get a blue pill until he is at his ideal weight to at least find out if that's the problem?
I think the blue pill, so I'm going to go out on a limb here and, and I'm love that we can't have people right here arguing with me because we would never get to this conversation. I think the blue pill is one of the most damaging things to the sexual psyche of our country.
Tell me why.
And
I agree. I just want. I'm curious. Your
inverted truth, because it's full of lies. That first of all, that you have a problem if you can't have a raging erection constantly after the age of 50. Second of all, that women over the age of 50 you're dating want that. Even women in their 20s and 30s. I mean, you might find someone, but it's not really. It's not the norm necessarily to have a woman that wants you to have an erection most of the day every day. I mean. Are you in the porn industry?
Well, that's a performance model rather than an emotionally bonding model. I think that's the big difference, right?
Yeah. So I don't want to get too much off topic, but blue pill bad. Okay.
Right. Back again.
I mean, unless you have a temporary, like a Band-Aid, it might be a temporary Band-Aid in a very specific situation, of which there are a few. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to throw out typical problems for sex. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's say feeling gassy. I don't know. Feeling gassy. And so, I mean, really, though, that can be a problem for a couple.
No,
like
beans
if a
before
woman
sex?
Has a, or,
well, that's a well, that, – wait a minute. That's a fascinating topic. You know, are there foods that are that are detrimental to your like too many onions and garlic or you know,
cauliflower,
too many
cabbage,
beans?
Broccoli, beans. Beans, graham, yes. Pay attention, because if you have a romantic evening, let's say you're a busy couple, and you want to set your body up for it to be at its best. So, you know, you may watch your diet, and then 24 hours ahead of time, it's good to do little detoxes anyway. So up the apple cider vinegar water, up the nice green teas, cut down on the fried or fatty foods, cut down on the carbonated drinks. Maybe get rid of dairy for 24 hours. It's great to have a dairy break for overall health. Anyway, it can
what's
be very inflammatory
dairy?
For most people.
Oh,
cheese,
see, I like
milk,
dairy.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Me too, honey. I know.
Okay.
We can't always have a dairy day. But then the 24 hours, I'm just saying, if you are a woman who wants, you know, to present like in this romantic, you want to like be there for your partner, you have a date set up, and, you know, you want things to all be in order, and you don't want to risk any embarrassing odors or outbursts, especially with certain kind of sex play, you know, there's things you can do to prevent that. So
that makes sense.
You know, and the American diet is very gas promoting. So, you know, it's worth mentioning, right? Probiotics.
Marco says milk products too. Marco knows that in the Netherlands.
Milk.
He's listening in. He said milk products. Yeah. So now, the diet, the blood type diet. See, when I cut out calcium from my dad, because I didn't want kidney stones. I got kidney stones, you know. So the worst thing for me is to cut out dairy. So the more dairy, the healthier I am. I just am. So milk, cheese, yogurt, love it all. Doesn't affect me. In fact, the absence of it, you know, really made me sick. But I'm type B.
Okay, so what I'm recommending is not that you just blindly do this. If you've noticed, you know, say you have a weekly romantic date or biweekly is every 2 weeks. So twice a week, you know, and you know that you've scheduled time, just be aware. So if dairy isn't an issue for you, but like the food map is a bit helpful. If you've noticed that, you know, you come to the bed and there's GI issues, just start noticing, write down what you have 24 hours, just write down what you're eating, and then start eliminating the known gas causes. So, you know, the known foods that cause gas, and add the green tea, add the bananas, add, you know, probiotics, add, you
Ooh,
know,
potassium.
Yogurt, Greek yogurt, or...
They do bananas for marathon runners. It's potassium. So bananas is sex food?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Okay.
Well, it has nice probiotics and potassium, lots of yummy things. And it's very easy on the gut, which is lovely.
Hmm.
Even sauerkraut. Again, experiment, because sauerkraut might have the opposite effect for some people. But it has nice probiotics. Kimchi, you know.
Okay.
So that's our gassy issue. I feel like we've covered that.
No, I just find it interesting that foods for sex. I mean, we should do like a sex diet. What are the best foods for sex? You know, before.
We've done that before. I love that topic.
Okay, we did. Well, we can do it again.
Oh yeah, but we can't.
We'll have a different take on it.
Too much. I think who's going to memorize it all, right?
Exactly.
All right, let's throw out how about vaginal odor? Like, I know that's an unpleasant topic, but let's just say,
we've already said it now. What causes that?
All kinds of things. So again, and this is very interesting too. So you can put, there are chemical matches. So you can put a man or woman together and he can be like, there's something that just doesn't appeal to them about her odor. And you can give him a different man, the same woman. And he's like so drawn to it. So there is a definite chemical attraction that happens. And we have different, like our bodies are just attracted to certain people's smells and repulsed by others. That's very real. So it may not be a problem with her at all. And actually, that's interesting.
No, I've noticed that. People smell different, you know. In fact, I remember a really close friend of mine, she says, you know, the guys, they have smell right. And I said, yeah, you're right. I didn't really think about it too much, but they do. People have to smell right.
Yeah.
Good or bad. It's just a good or bad to you, you know, and it's very
so
interesting.
True.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Once you accept that, I mean, you can, I had this idea for a speed dating. I would love to hold a speed dating that was based on smell.
Blindfolded?
People are blindfolded you smell, and people are instructed not to shower, put perfume on right before. And you can shower a few hours before, or if you just ran or something, but try not to, don't use anything with any perfumes in it prior to coming in. A very light natural deodorant, maybe only, but even that not. And then you literally blindfold and you smell, and everyone has a number, and you write down your top five smells, and then you get revealed more information about that person and their lifestyle and their you know, their values. And you know what I mean? That might be kind of cool.
That'd be interesting. You know, it's interesting too.
Now you have chemistry and compatibility.
Yeah. Here's something we haven't talked about that might be interesting. Different races of people, the skin feels different. Black skin feels different than white skin, which feels different than Asian skin. I don't know if my Hispanic skin is that much different, but skin is different.
I don't know this. I want to try this now.
Okay.
I mean, I think now that, okay, I'm going to my central
Shake hands with guys
now.
Of different races. The skin feels different. It just does. See, one of the beauties of being in San Francisco
Why
is
Why are we
to
off on
everybody.
This topic?
I have no idea.
But okay, let's
true.
Go back. We're going back to right, vaginal fine. Odor. I love that. But now we're speaking tangential here. Okay.
What was I thinking? Why didn't I want to talk about that? Okay, go ahead.
Mark's got it on mute. He's put his music on. I said vaginal odor, and he's like, okay, not. But so if it were truly is a problem with odor, you want to like make your vagina as appealing sensually as possible, I always come back to pineapple juice. Pineapple juice for men and women.
Do you eat it or wear it?
Do
you eat it or wear it?
Secretions taste
curious.
Better. It makes the odor better. You drink it fresh or fresh juice if you can. Otherwise, organic pineapple juice. You know, if there is an infection like BV, obviously bacterial vaginosis, that's going to be itchy and red. So you're going to know it's not just, you know, it's not just the chemistry or a food thing. It's and there's actually over-the-counter tests now, which is really lovely. So you could go into urgent care, you can make an appointment with your doctor, or you can grab an over-the-counter test and see if that helps. Yeast infections, obviously very common. And
is it the acid
people,
in pineapple
again,
juice? Is it the acid that does it, that helps?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Okay.
But it's 1,000 college girls can't be wrong. 10 million college girls can't be wrong. That's funny.
Well, now, does
it
help guys?
Not just...
Does it help guys too? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's pineapple juice? How about pineapples? Because I usually have a deli.
It's super high vibrational. Kind of a, yes.
Oh, okay.
It's also high vibrational. I don't want to get off on it. But there's a high frequency. Pineapples carry like a really nice energy to them too.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Back to order.
I mean, obviously, poor hygiene is a cause. Look, I don't even want to touch on that. Obviously, get in there with your natural soaps, no perfume. Give her some love. You know, don't neglect. Yeah. Okay.
Mm.
STDs, that's a no-brainer, right? We're not,
right.
I mean, obviously get checked regularly for STDs, have protected sex, have limited sexual partners that are super high quality. And then, soap and other products can really cause reactions in the vagina. But
it's a non-air environment. It's like your body gets fresh air. So it's like your house gets fresh air, but you close all the windows, you know, it gets kind of stuffy. Vaginas get, you know, the lack of air creates a breeding ground for stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Yes. Right. So no panties Wednesday is a great habit to get into. And if you
so this is like casual Friday and really casual Wednesday. I mean, I just, okay, fine.
Yeah. I mean, look, start paying attention to your vagina. Start really like noticing her. You'll have days where you have more secretions than others because it's natural for the vagina to constantly be nice and lubricate herself so she's ready for anything. So a healthy vagina tends to be frequently like lubricated, you know, not walking around dry as a bone. So if you have days where, you know, in your month, you probably need underwear, of course, do it. But on the days that maybe you don't, it might not be a bad idea. And I will say this, do not wear it to bed. There's no reason. Let your vagina breathe at nighttime, you know?
Okay.
She wants to breathe. She loves it. Okay.
How about synthetic
apple
fibers,
cider
polyester,
vinegar,
things like that?
Polyester of the devil. Don't get me started. I have a lot of polyester stuff. This is the pot calling the kettle black, but it really is so unhealthy. There was a time where my kids only wore organic stuff. Do you know how expensive that is? Oh, my God. They only wore organic stuff.
I can't wear polyester shirts. Polyester shirts to me are like a trash bag.
Yoga clothes, all the workout clothes are polyester, everything. It's hard to find, but it's not healthy. So I love that you're dropping that little seed here. If you can move to cottons, it actually helps the cotton farmers, you know, especially if you buy USA cotton. And there's lots of
my stuff's all cotton and wool. It's either cotton or wool.
No,
there's not much wool anymore because I'm in Florida, but it's all cotton. I won't buy anything that's not 100% cotton. I can't wear it.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
No, I'm allergic to polyester. It's actually pretty easy. I break out a rash with polyester, so I learned that a long time ago. But here's cotton. You know, another thing too for men, especially, you know, guys, boxers, don't get the tight underwear, the tidy whiteies. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if they're polyester, you're screwed. You just, you know, you need breathing.
And you know what? I know people in my life that just don't listen to me. I love my manly men because they don't like to be lectured or bossed. That turns me on a lot, but it's so frustrating when, like, you know, as a woman, you know something because it's kind of your specialty, but you can't really tell them or change
them. And they deny you knowledge? That must be frustrating.
They just can't. It has to be their idea. So you have to
give me
a
for instance.
Psychological feminine trick.
Give me for instance.
And, you know, people would argue and say, oh, why would we have to do that? No, I like to do it because it keeps the polarity in chemistry, and that's worth it for me. That chemistry and polarity of the mat is worth doing, you know, that feminine communication with every freaking little thing. I'm a detox nurse. I got my master's at Vanderbilt years ago. I've been practicing, I rerouted my mentality based on many years of experience and having a lot of network of natural health care practitioners. And, you know, I just know a lot of stuff about
you're here.
How to
you
live
know,
a healthy
I mean,
lifestyle.
This is why I love having you on the show. You know things
specialty.
That... You know things that nobody else knows. I mean, that's why you're here. It's fascinating. It's fabulous. It's, you know, yeah, it's true. So this is why I probably nudge you more to tell me things. Oh, I don't know if I want to go there. Yeah, go there. I want to know. You know, because I know you know.
Well, Ian, I certainly don't know everything, but I have a wide breadth of knowledge. And prior to sexuality, it was really all help and researching how do we get away from the medical industry and what's the truth about our health and our wellness and how we can. So that was really my forte prior to the fun topic of sex. But so my masculine men in my life, you know, that's, it's interesting because you can see like what they're doing and what they could do different and how they could be healthier, but they have to come up with it themselves. Like I have a male friend who I was doing, you know, cryotherapy, ice baths after hot yoga, just to reduce inflammation, and not regularly, but you know, he made no comment about it whatsoever and thought it was kind of crazy. And then he went down to his friend's big acreage to hunt, and his friend happened to have cryotherapy set up on his porch. Like, he's super into holistic health also, this
What's
very rural hunter.
What's
the
that?
Ice bath. Just,
okay.
Yeah. So the knowledge that, and if you think about it, it makes evolutionary sense. So we didn't have hot running water. We would jump into a creek to bathe, or we jump into a creek to get our meal for that day. Right?
Right.
So submerging in very cold water was something our human bodies kind of grew up doing right through history. And mm-hmm. So there's this long held scientific knowledge that used to be just for athletes. Right. But now the public knows about it, that it helps reduce inflammation in joints and helps, you know, for circulation and so many things. It's actually anti-aging, which is kind of my draw. I'm like, fuck my joints.
Yeah.
I want to look 30. No, you know, joints
are
important. But yeah, so I don't even know where I was going. Cryotherapy. Oh, just like, you know, a lot of times the masculine needs to hear about it from other men. So, and that's all good.
So that's,
I was off on a tangent.
That's an ego. That's an emotional thing. And there, you want to talk about wounding in childhood. I mean, where does that come from with guys? I know exactly what you're talking about, you know, and the opposite for women is when the guys will tell them their true feelings and women say, that's not your true feelings. It's like, how would you know? You know? And so, but
I have done
this,
that. I have done that. Oh my God. And then I caught myself doing it at the same time he caught me doing it. And it's just like, you know, that's so interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I've heard it. I said exactly that response. How would you know? You're not me. You're not a guy. You don't know. And besides, why would you deny them that quickly? It's like a contradiction. It's like the feminine contradiction. Tell me your true feelings. Those aren't your true feelings. Oh, give me a break. No wonder the guys don't talk. But guys,
worth exploring because the reason she doesn't believe it is because her inner child is so scared and needs to protect right now.
She's already decided what she wants to hear. But people do that all the time. It's like the guys that don't like your ideas.
But it's not her higher self. And for the man to understand, it's not her higher self. And to have a layer of – so that's why the education is so important. Like, to have a layer of empathy at that moment, like that moment to say, okay, she's really scared. She's not talking from her woman self. She's talking from her scared inner child. She's afraid. Okay. I don't feel that way because – she's so afraid of abandonment, rejection, and maybe like whatever's happening right now in our relationship, she's really scared. And just to know that, she's really scared. So what does she need? Not that you have to be her therapist, but it's just a little tool for men so they don't take that personally, although it is not okay for her to say that.
Yeah, men need a woman's translation manual. For men, here's what she's saying, and here's what she's really saying.
To feel safe, and to feel desired. Those two things. And everything kind of comes down to that, honestly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think men need to be, I think, respected and valued.
Yes. Appreciated
men.
And free.
Yep. And free. Well, you know, my number one axiom in relationships, you know, men feel secure when they're free and women feel free when they're secure. And that's just the way the world works.
Yeah. And that's freedom for everyone.
Yeah. So understand what makes you secure.
If my man makes me feel safe, I'm not going to like follow him around all day and text him all day and ask him where he's going. If I feel safe, I'm like giddy. I'm like a giddy teenager and I'm going to bring it in the bed and I'm going to bring it in the kitchen and all the areas. And, you know, like life is good.
Yeah, and when the guy feels free because you're not texting every 5 minutes, you're not panicking, you don't worry when he goes up with the boys and says, well, you better be home by a certain time. I don't want you running off with some woman. Then the guy feels free to be himself and still be far more faithful and dedicated and energetic towards the woman just because there's that trust and understanding there. Yeah. So what about guys?
And the drawing of the energy, like you know, he wants to be around that. It feeds him, you know?
Sure. Because freedom is attractive to guys. Freedom is attractive to guys. So just you look at voting and everything else. Guys vote for freedom. more than women. Women vote for security. You look at voting patterns.
When
it's
you say guys,
clear.
You mean like guys with masculine
men.
Energy. We just have to put a caveat on it now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not talking about metrosexual
well, no,
feminine men.
No, because so many guys
yeah.
don't have that. Because not every guy votes for freedom.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not counting. Let me just say real men. But where would it come from in a man? Where what wounded inner child is where he doesn't want to take advice or suggestions from women? Where they where you have to make
is
it
wounded
you have to make
inner
him think
child?
His idea.
Is that what it is? Is that
well, that's
what
I'm wondering. That's what I'm asking you. Where would that come from that a guy wouldn't want advice from a woman? Shame from his mother? I mean, who knows?
No,
where,
it's a masculine because she's in her masculine energy when she's lecturing him. That's her job isn't to tell him how to be a man and how to live his life. Her job is to be happy, free, receptive, and she can she'll do her thing. And if he's eating freaking McDonald's or if he's eating GMO chicken, I mean, I'm going to talk. She's going to go make her own food, and she's probably not as available, and she's not going to do it to punish him. She's just like, oh, I don't really eat that. And it's going to be more difficult for him to be around her because she's not choosing that. And so he will begin to move towards what she needs. If he cherishes her and he's treating her, he wants her to have the foods that she can eat. He wants her to have, you know, the foods that she needs because she's not being punitive. She just is going to take care of her body. A woman that values herself is going to take care of her body. And if she knows that genetically modified foods are damaging or that chemicals and additives, she's not going to like cross those boundaries with even for her man. She's not going to start treating her body badly just because he's doing it. So I feel like it would
just
naturally...
Yeah, but he might do it just to rebel. You know, we guys are naturally rebellious.
We're not in
the,
a healthy
kind of
relationship then. If I'm showing you that this is truly who I am based on many years of research and I love my body and I feel so good this way, I feel energetic, I feel like I'm not moody, and this is what I have to have is healthy foods, but you're bringing things that I can't eat, then I'm going to move away from you and go somewhere where
I was thinking in terms
I,
of,
you know?
I was thinking more in terms of the guys, like, but why would men not want advice or suggestions from women? I'm not talking about beating them over the head with it. I'm just talking about, hey, here's an idea. I've tried this. This works for me. Or here's something I read the other day. Why, you know, this might be an interesting thing for you. That kind of stuff. And if you're saying the guys,
okay,
you have to make it for the guys that you have to make it think is their idea.
Well,
why
okay,
would you have to do
that's
that?
An exaggeration because we were on a different topic and I was kind of giving curt answers. But I will say just because I was sort of like my brain isn't fully in this topic, but it is now. I will say when you introduce wounding, it's not necessarily wounding. It's the way the woman says it, the way she her feminine. If you're in a friendship with a guy, it's fully different. If you're in a romantic relationship and you want chemistry and polarity, unfortunately.
Right.
Lecturing, advising, instructing is deflates the balloon. It just does. I mean, choose very wisely when you have those conversations, and there's ways you can have them with your masculine man. And I actually just went through a really good program that emphasizes this, and it was so good. but it was really good. So now I get to incorporate it. But it's true. It's not just it's. I've seen this in action many times now, and I'm like, oh, this is gold. So there's ways a woman can say it if it's really important. And you know, we all know the communication strategies, nonviolent communication. It's an excellent book to read, Marshall Rosenberg. It goes back many years. A lot of schools are founded on it, a lot of therapy programs. But you sandwich it, and you say it in a way they can hear it, and they don't feel like you're telling them they're wrong or they should do it. You know, if it's really important and you know, it's kind of a block in the relationship at this point and it's, you know, there's enough good things in the relationship and this is just something that, you know, there's a way you can say it that he can hear it and make a choice to bring you more happiness and pleasure and safety by incorporating some changes. But, you know, as a woman, you want to be strategic because we don't want to lose the chemistry. You know, we go out in the world and school tells us we're boss bitches and school tells us to do this and do that. And we're in charge and girl power and all that can be true in the business world. But when you bring that to the relationship and you have a masculine man, that ain't flying. It's just going to destroy the chemistry and chemistry is really important. So
deflate the balloon.
The way you communicate.
I remember that's a great metaphor. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, I think we have, and this is a whole other topic. I love when you said chemistry and polarity. because it's yin and yang. Those two, it's interesting because you always say that. And I don't know if, we've probably done it on it before, but I think they're so important for people to realize there's going to be chemistry and there's going to be polarity, and you can't have one without the other. You need both. So in other words, polarity,
baby.
We're talking about opposites. So in other words, we're not talking about conflict or bad conflict, but there's going to be differences.
No.
You know, can you be attracted to somebody who's exactly like you? I don't think so.
Energy balance. Young people tend to be. So this is really interesting. If you watch young people go through relationships, like the first boyfriend, a girl, and I'm making a broad sweep here, and I'm not really a relationship expert. But if you start noticing, adolescents are in experimental stage, and they tend to gravitate towards a lot of first relationships tend to be, you're exploring comfort, you're exploring, the basics of interaction. So a lot of times, they will choose a safer first relationship, girls, where there is a lot of similarity and equality. And then that will that may then later fizzle out because, the chemistry may kind of not be there as much, but but the feeling of compatibility and friendship is stronger. Does that make sense? Hmm. I mean, you can have both, but
Go ahead. Feel free.
On that same thought, as you get older and you start to realize about chemistry and compatibility and how you need both, and you become braver in your ability to sink into your feminine, because it takes a shitload of bravery and vulnerability for today's woman to be in her feminine and embrace it and sink into it, because it's really
vulnerable.
Well,
society doesn't want feminine women. They want, I guess emotionally trans women. They want you neutral. And we should talk about too. But the trend is to neutralization, neutralizing men, neutralizing women, so that we're all the same, and we're not.
Both castrating them physically and chemically, castration, which is, I'm going to say vaccines. Sorry, I just probably lost a lot of people. I'm going to say
Has anybody done a vaccine and sexual dysfunction, if we can use that term again?
Yes.
For convenience.
That will not ever be published, but independent groups have long shown the correlation between vaccination schedule and gender fluidity. That is real. And I'm a gender lover. I'm a transgender activist. Mm-hmm. There is a real percentage of the population that is born, and if you look at biology, embryological, and biochemistry, there is a real natural occurrence of gender fluidity. That's real. However, that's not what's happening right now. So,
we had a guest. You brought a real transgender guest on. I mean, you brought a real transgender guest on.
She's like my best friend. And she's like the most feminine woman I've ever met. And I love her so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I don't mind. And
my thing,
as I said before, people who make a personal choice, I have no problem with it. But you're not a civil rights group. We're not going to pay for it. And it's a personal choice. It's not something that can be protected, because nobody can stop you from doing this. It's not against the law. I don't want to get onto that.
Let's not get into that. However, that is hugely important. If we're talking about also sexual, like back to our original topic, sexual problems, they can be holistically remedied. That is huge. Look at the chemistry in your relationship and the polarity. Many people enter marriages all hot and heavy, and then once kids happen, and if both people are in careers, the sex fizzles, and that is going to happen when a woman is overburdened, overwhelmed, not receiving enough support. That doesn't mean from her man. We're not intended to just have support from one person. Women need to cultivate support in their sisterhood 100%. She needs to have a lot of her needs met outside of her marriage for happiness. That means she has a self-care exercise program. She has a support group of women. She goes out and has girls' night sometimes. She has a foot massager by her bed and like special lotion that she puts on at night. I mean, there's so many ways, but we can't keep polarity and chemistry in our relationships when we don't have basic self-care and support as women outside of the marriage. And that comes back to the psychological aspect, because you'll bring your neediness to the marriage. You'll bring your bossiness. You'll bring your dissatisfaction. You'll bring the lecture because you have no, your bucket isn't filled, and you're walking around like this empty hole. So
Well, neediness and bossiness, you know, are just two sides of the same coin. They really are.
Mm-hmm. Control.
They work together. Yeah. Well, you said something interesting.
And you will dissolve your polarity. Yeah. You'll dissolve it, and there's your vaginal dryness, and there's your loss of libido. So there are absolutely ways a couple can regain that, that chemistry. But it does take some work, but the work is fun. The work can be really fun.
Yeah. We need to
stop
neutralizing
people. There's so many strategies.
Yeah. More men, more women,
throw
less
away,
control.
Throw away the kids' college funds. Put the kids' college funds into hope, into help in the domestic environment. So if you need a housekeeper, if you need a gardener, if you need a, if you have savings, you're like, well, one day we're going to buy. No, save your marriage. Go ahead and invest in support if you don't have family. Take the if you do have family that want to help you, I advise actually, if possible, moving them close to you or moving close to them if you can. The abundance that comes from those steps will more than make up for what you think you're saving for. And that's another topic. But having kids grow up in an environment of a married couple that not only that have great sex. I mean, because if the sex is really great and your chemistry is there, a lot of other things are healthy. That's a reflection of a lot of other things being in place. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Just want to leave you with a thought for possibly next week that we're talking about chemistry and polarity. I see a lot of posts by women saying that men don't want, you know, strong, independent women. They want whatever they – I think that's wrong. I know for me, and maybe I'm rare, but I don't think so. I think most men really like strong women, that they like a partner. Mm-hmm. They like somebody who's equal, that I'm attracted to beautiful, strong, intelligent women, not necessarily
in
that order.
And what do you mean by strong? What does a strong can mean different things for different people? And our culture says certain things about a strong woman, and I'm curious what that means for you.
A strong woman has her own opinions, has her own thoughts, has her own life, has her own independence, is not affected, destroyed, or totally, you know, wiped out by all the things that society throws at you. In other words, when your family puts you down, you say, well, my family put me down, but I don't care, you know, because I'm going to do this, you know, and you still have problems. You still make mistakes and all that kind of stuff. But a strong person doesn't give up, doesn't knuckle under, doesn't subvert who they are. In other words, they don't change their personality. We should talk about this in relationships and marriage too, that as you said, you got to keep yourself care. Yeah.
If you are a strong woman, for me, that means you know who you are. You're delighted with who you are. And you have boundaries and values, and you're not going to compromise them, but you hold that strength in a non-controlling way where you're just feeding your own happiness and moving towards your own happiness. You're not trying to make someone else be a different way. So that to me feels like strength. Like you're not trying
strong
to
men,
control other people.
I mean,
yeah, you're just
strong men. You know, you have the courage to be who you are, to take on the challenges, to take the risks, and the Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena. You know, it's better to dare to do great things and fail miserably than never to dare at all. So that's a strong man. So that's a great quote, too.
You know who you are, and you hold your boundaries, you hold your values, but you hold them with grace.
Action radio.
Yeah.
You know,
I love it.
This is definitely the Don Quixote moment of my life, taking on something that's never been done, a seemingly impossible task to change the system to create the greatest freedom for the greatest number. And I love it. It doesn't, you know, I'm not going to waver one bit from what we do here. Anyway, this has been another wonderful hour. Yeah. Thank you.
You have a great gift. I'm glad you're taking your gift with bravery and loudness and spreading it. It's just a big drop in the bucket we need for everyone to be doing that on some level, right?
Well, thank you. Yeah. I don't see it as a choice, and I see the ideas that come on in my head are God-inspired. I'm just the messenger. I'm just a really good messenger.
Yeah.
You know, so this is how I look at it. But something I was going to say to you. I forgot it now. But, the interview Friday, I'm getting a chance to listen to it. We had Brianna Latipo on. She's a healer. She had, like me, a terrible childhood. Her family thought she was the Antichrist. Fascinating.
All good healers.
Yeah. So she's on. I put her post on our vaccine project page, which is that's a private group, but easily to get. I think I probably posted on your messenger too. But I've got a lot of folks I think would be fascinated to connect with her, and she's the wife of Dr. Joseph Latipo, our Florida Surgeon General. So has great access to a lot of things that might change healing in Florida and other states if we can kind of work on some stuff. So I think there's amazing potential there. So if you haven't heard that interview, please do. And I can get you all connected.
And you know what? I didn't get to finish vaginal odor, but let's touch on it next week because there are so many solutions for that and I have a few other sexual challenges people encounter that are pretty easily remedied.
How could
we
have
next
not
week,
completed
we can do
that topic? What was I thinking? Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
it's
only just because well, we covered a lot of it, but there's but I didn't want to leave anyone hanging if they're like, what were the remedies?
Pineapple juice. You said so. Pineapple juice.
Pineapple's great. Tea tree baths with tea tree, baths with baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
So many things. I mean, you can
so
use garlic.
Are guys more likely to, if the odor is taken care of? I'm just curious.
Oh, my, of course. Do it as a gift for yourself and your man. And when you have open communication, hopefully you can handle if he gives you feedback. And that's what we want. We want feedback.
Okay.
And, you know, two people communicating and then you're continuously improving it. And then when that those solutions work, you know, you're not going to be able to keep him out of there.
See, there you go. So that's another component we have to we can pick this up next week.
Okay. All right. Have a great day. I've got someone bringing lunch to me, which is so lovely because I have a busy day. So I'm going to go enjoy a nice lunch with friends on my sunny patio.
Wonderful.
But I just feel really appreciated
by this.
And thank you for
share the show.
I will.
I'm curious what your friends think of all the stuff we do because you know how suppressed I am on social media. So it's up to everybody who's a part of the show to kind of help get the word out. And I appreciate that.
Well, I have to figure out how I tag the show on my Facebook without it being banned because every time I put a link to our show, my viewership goes dead. So we have to find a way around that. I know there's some tricks, but.
Why don't you
just
call it Dorothy's Sex and Sensuality Report and then sneak the website in somewhere in like the comments or something?
Yeah, I'm going to put the website from now on in the comments. That is an excellent strategy. Yes, good idea. Mm-hmm.
Let me know what happens.
All right. Have a great rest of your Monday. Thank you.
Have a great week, too. Talk to you next week. Thanks, Dorothy.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye now. I love Mondays. I just love Mondays. You know, I get to rant for an hour. I get to talk to Jonathan and Pianchi about all the political stuff. Then I get to talk sex with Dorothy. I mean, what better way to go through your week than that? A couple more things to play for you, and then I'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. We've got our usual Tuesday, because this week everything seems to be working at Blog Talk, which is good. So we have Brianna Cannon with the Government Inquiry Report. Then we have Josie Cossi with the Latina Report. And the third hour, I have no idea. I always try to have 1 hour open per day just so that I can talk about whatever's on my mind or we get guests or what will happen from there. Tomorrow morning, we do it all again at the same time, 7 a.m. Central Time. This is Greg Penglis, creator of Action Radio for my town, Milton, Florida. Milton, it's where I live. It's where you can live too. It's where you can bring a new business, especially a business that helps our downtown historic district. We have everything in Milton. We have the Blackwater River. We have the Imogene Theater, built in 1912 and still booking national acts. We have Scoops Ice Cream. We have Boomerang's Restaurant, where I get my favorite Thai chicken pizza. We have an outdoor stage for music acts and free concerts by the river. The Blackwater Bistro will keep you in steak and seafood indefinitely. We have brew pubs creating great craft beers and giving us all a place to relax and talk. But it's more than just stuff and food and buildings. It's people. Remember the show Cheers, where everybody knows your name? It's that kind of place. So if you're tired of the cities, of the traffic, the frenetic pace of life that doesn't seem to get you anywhere, if you want a small city that has incredible potential, that combines the best of historic buildings and modern, fun, small retail shops and restaurants, and a great waterfront, plus who knows what for the future, take a look at historic Milton, Florida, in the Panhandle, near Pensacola, and the world's greatest beaches on the Emerald Coast of the Gulf of Mexico. Milton is going through a renaissance. Maybe you can be part of making it happen. And the funny thing is, that's not the thing I intended to play, but since I started it, that's our town, Milton. So we actually have on Facebook a Action Radio Milton Renaissance group. We're trying to get the businesses together with a map app and a guide to all the local businesses and some other things here. So part of my job here is to promote Milton. And so this is the one I intended to play, but we'll get to it now. Here at Action Radio, we are looking for sponsors. We have 30 and 60-second spots available for your announcements. And we have 3-minute live call-ins to talk about your products and services available. Action Radio is the next evolution beyond talk radio. Join us and let us help your business evolve. Think about being a sponsor of the future and not just a listener, and help us help your business grow as you help us plunge headlong into breaking new ground here on Action Radio every day. This is Greg Penglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. You make your energy drink yourself. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.